Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Greetings on the winter and the last clouds across the fruited nut and Zog Point. In the open air, coast to coast nut house, we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But this show is right now dedicated pretty much to the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. Now this is episode number 103.5 of the Movement Turd. And tonight I decided to go ahead and go with my 10,000 Warlords project theme. And tonight's theme, I believe I'm going to end up calling the show The 10,000 Warlords Project versus Local Zog. Now, folks, the 10,000 Warlords is not meant to go ahead and be a show which goes ahead and takes on Zog Babylon, the third and the final. It has been written, I've said several times in my analysis of the bowel movement, our wonderful bowel movement, that essentially there is no taking on Zog Babylon. There is no sense in doing so because all you're going to do is get your ass killed. You don't want to do that. Did I say Time Lords? No, I didn't. Although sometimes we end up having, Lloyd Davies call in every so often. And folks, for you Nimbuster Tars, behave yourself. Anyway, no spamming in the chat room. You know, speaking of which, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pull a Dan Junes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and sort of keep things clear by going ahead and letting it so that when people come in, you know, as a guest, you know, essentially they'll be blocked initially, and what I'll do is I'll unblock them as time goes on here. Folks, and the reason of it is that, well, it sort of keeps the chat room operating. Because if somebody goes ahead and overwhelms my Dick Reltony persona, Toshiba number one, they overwhelm it. Essentially, by doing that, they make sure that I'm not able to go ahead and unblock the guests here. And there's a few Targe here, Nimbuster Targe. Well, if I go ahead and see them in there, I'll just go ahead and block them because they've already spammed the list here. I don't mind criticism. You know, if all you have to say is Marty Chomo, I mean, I'll go ahead and put up with that stupid crap. And speaking of which, Jeremy Visser is out to go ahead and take down Key Southworth's Christian Identity Bible Study for no other good reason than that it is a Christian Identity Bible Study. It doesn't really talk about them at all. Essentially, it's a genuine Christian Bible study as opposed to Eli or James, I think what she means, nonsense, Wickstrom's nonsense. Essentially, we did have an interesting discussion, and folks, I disagree with Keith. I don't believe in preexistence, you know, and I disagree with Logan. But we're able to go ahead and have an agreement because we are Christian Identity brethren. And when it comes down to it, some of these arguments here, last Tuesday, you know, pretty well I agreed. I believe that it's Yahweh the Father and Jesus Christ or Yeshua for Logan. You know, the Son, and that essentially there's not, you know, there is one God, there's one Godhead family, but there are two distinct personas or personages. And I disagreed with Keith on that. And for every scripture where he said, yes, me and the Father are one, I said, well, just by going ahead and saying that me and the Father are one, you're going ahead and saying that there are two distinct personas and that they are one. Now, I'm not able to go ahead and figure out about a number of things. But, folks, the point I'm trying to make here is that it is perfectly acceptable for Christian Israelites to go ahead and disagree. It doesn't make them traitors or anything like that, unless they are like Jeremy Visser. They're trying to go ahead and oppress the people of Yahweh. And Jeremy Visser is not a traitor. He's a manzer. He got a lot of red nigger in him. He got probably some nigger in him. Now, essentially, Jeremy Visser is acting according to Mamzer nature, and he's not really a traitor. He's just a Mamzer who is pretending to be Christian Day, who's out to take down Keith Southworth's talk show program. He's not a traitor at all. Not at all. Now, I had a little discussion with APOC and a few other people from the Monkey Barrel. And let's see if Russ is calling in. I hope he is. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Russ?
Fine.
Okay, well, we'll probably have you, then we'll have Logan for, you know, I mean, I'm not going to really have Logan on for, you know, much over maybe a half hour or so. I'm expecting some guys from California and thereabouts to go ahead and call. And essentially what I'm going to go ahead and talk about is essentially, well, the 10,000 Warlords Project. And what the 10,000 Warlords Project is, I'm calling for every Israelite to understand who he is dealing with and to go ahead when the time comes and the Great Tribulation is pretty well nearly over and done with, maybe about year 4, 5, or 6, or 7 of the Great Tribulation, or maybe year 7. As time comes, it will be the time to go ahead and take care of the treasonous Uyghurs and the Manzers and the Jews who have oppressed our people under Zog Babylon, the third and final. I'm not talking about going against essentially Zog Babylon, the District of Corruption on the, you know, District of Corruption on the Potomac, or New York in the Hudson, or Beanerville, Los Angeles on on the left coast. Essentially, I'm talking about dealing with the traitors and Uyghurs and Manzers who are oppressing our people through the use of the police and the rest, that away here. And, folks, it comes down to a Uyghur problem. Once the Uyghurs are pretty well exterminated due to their own stupidity, due to their own evil, I do believe the white man, the surviving white man, will be able to go ahead and roll up upon the Manzers and the Jews and pretty well take care of them as they see fit. In any case, I went ahead and talked about this stupid bitch, Donna Fulton. I was going ahead and looking at some old files from 2009. And this Mayor Donna Fullerton, why, she's a rather nosy heifer. Way back in the early 90s, she got this crooked local guy, Max Carter, elected as county commissioner. And from what I gather, she went ahead and she got a hold of the ballot boxes, and she got old Max Carter elected. And then they went ahead and built a brand new jail instead of just putting them on the third floor of the courthouse where it would only hold 40 prisoners. She went ahead and got this jail finally worked on at a cost of about $200,000. Now, well, $500,000 or whatever. Well, part of the thing is this crooked politician got elected. He was only for one term. Essentially, he got a $50,000 kickback from the old pet milk place to go ahead and put the jail in the middle of Neosho. And there are a lot of people who said, well, no, they ought to go ahead and put this jail where there's plenty of room to expand it, do whatever you want, and essentially they ought to go ahead and put it in this agricultural land south of, south of Neosho, where there's about 300-some acres around. You can go ahead and expand this jail anytime you want to. Go ahead and add on to it, do whatever you want, as opposed to go ahead and put it at the Pat Milk place. But anyway, she went to where this guy got a kickback, allegedly of $50,000, and he only served one term. Then his brother went ahead and then became presiding commissioner after he stepped down. But, you have this stupid bitch, and what she does is that I was looking for 2009, she was voting that people couldn't put in a trailer house. And right just next door to my property, on this property line, my brother sold this, niece of Roxy's named Sherry something or another, sold a trailer house, and she got her, putative daddy, her husband, Roxy's other brother, Floyd, to go ahead and take a rope around my chicken house, which is on the line, and tear it off. And I got arrested when I said, no, you ought to put, I'm not going to let her put a trailer house in if she can't go ahead and respect the fact that this chicken house, which is standing, but it didn't look very nice, was around long before she got born, and certainly when she bought the property, she knew that this house was there, but she don't like the look of it. So she went ahead and illegally tore down a structure of mine, which was on the property line. She tore it down and went ahead and burned it here. And I believe that, she ought to have her own house, trailer house, bulldozed down. Because if she can't respect the rights of, you know, or property of others, why should I respect the, you know, her rights or her property? Now, essentially, you had the crooked people come in, and Donna Fullerton came into office just at that time. Well, anyway, in 2009, here she was pulling all this crap, and she got voted out in 2009. She got kicked out. And then during that, the new mayor and a city council critter were out to go ahead and screw this local, Miss Pig, you know, little female piggy. And essentially, she sued the city of Granby for sexual harassment, supposedly got $75,000 for sexual harassment suit. But he went ahead and reelected the stupid bitch, Donna Fullerton. Now she wants to go ahead, and she's writing me hot letters saying that I have to tear down these old houses, which are falling apart, which are out of the way. And I'm going to end up suing the bitch. But essentially, what you have is that I've talked to other people. You have all over the country these people who get into power, and they think that because they're in power, they get to go ahead and have the local pigs, who are crooks too, go ahead and go after poor people and harass them and not let them enjoy their, you know, limited property. And then yet they expect that poor people are going to go ahead and respect their property. And this has not happened, not just in Granby. It's happening in Neosho. It's happening in Joplin. They had a tornado in Joplin. And here are these city council critters in Joplin pretty well telling these big corporations to take their time, do whatever the heck they want to with their property. Please come ahead, buy, you know, build your property. We won't give you any hard time. But whereas there's some poor people who essentially had an old house here that they couldn't even afford to keep up in paint, and they're harassing these people over the fact they don't have the money to go ahead and go into debt and go ahead and build a new house, and they're harassing these people in Joplin. And folks, this is occurring all over the country. You understand what I'm saying? Still there, Russ?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay. So anyway, I'm giving a rant here. And essentially, my point is that someone who can't respect someone else's property, in many cases, isn't an Israelite. What the critter is a dirty, evil mamzer who has no respect for anybody's property, or a Jew who's out to go and steal a white man's property and convert it to his own use, and go ahead and make a whole bunch of laws and then have the local pigs go ahead and enforce it. I mean, Russ.
They'll attack the weak people
and
steal.
Well, they attack the weak people in their local area. And pretty well, you know, for the 10,000 warlords program, I'm urging people, if you want to be a warlord, there's nothing wrong with putting the ones who used to be in power. I mean, there's no such thing as a good pig. Essentially, pigs enforce the will of Zog's government, you know, a Zog and local Zog. And essentially, what happens is the police harass you, you're perfectly justified in simply going ahead, rounding them up, torturing them, skinning them alive, and taking their property because, folks, they don't respect your property. Why in the world should you, you know, they don't respect your property. They don't respect your lives. Why in the world should you respect their lives and their property? In Genesis.
Oh, it's a do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, do as I say. I mean, these people passed the law. You know, this stupid bitch was saying no trailer houses are allowed in Granby. Well, hey, they went ahead and let this little bitch go ahead and put a big old fine, brand new made, double wide. But they won't let some poor person who essentially is just simply replacing with a secondhand trailer house an old trailer house which is burnt down or something like that here. Essentially, it's one rule for one person, another rule for another person, and they have no intention of, you know, of inflicting the rules that they make up on themselves here. It's just only for somebody else here. And as a result, you know, I agree is that Felix Dzerzhinsky understood that the way for the Bolsheviks to go ahead and have power was not only go ahead and cut off the head of the ancient regime, but that he would be quite popular in going ahead and putting these policemen and their families to death because essentially nobody loved the Russian police. They didn't call them pigs, they called them pharaohs. F-A-R-O-S. And what it referred to is that they called them pharaohs because the local pigs thought that they were like the Pharaoh of Egypt. They could do whatever the hell they wanted to. They could do no wrong. And essentially everybody else was their subject. Now, folks, does anybody believe that Russian pigs and American pigs and,
yeah,
you know, does anybody believe the pigs are any different wherever they're at? So, Anyway.
It's dry out, but remind me tomorrow, I'll pick it up.
Okay, you sound a little bit busy, Russ.
I'm just talking to my wife briefly.
Oh, okay. Well, no problem. Anyway, and second thing I wanted to go ahead and talk about was that old Jeremy Visser is trying to go ahead through lies, and he's trying to get TalkShoe taken out of all things.
You know that, Martin.
Huh?
How do you know that?
Well, what happens is I'm able to go ahead and look at Jeremy Visser's webpage. Although, folks, unless you have a up-to-date virus scanner, don't go to Jeremy Visser's Covenant People's Ministry Forum because it has a attack, you know, it has a very attack kit here. In fact, it's so bad that Google, you know, tells you not to go to it because it's infected by a virus. In fact, Jeremy Visser's ISP is based out of Israel, you know, Walla.com. But in any case, what happens is that essentially, you know, one of the characters who came in, well, Rabbi Samuelson, and the rest of them, I mean, folks, these people are known, you know, Visser sock puppets. And essentially they have a thread called Boycott Key Southworth's, Christian Identity Studies Group. Well, what they've done is that Jeremy Visser and Oba Genderbender have gone ahead and made a false complaint to TalkShoe, and Key Southworth went ahead, and this idiot at TalkShoe has pretty well taken the lies that essentially it's just nothing but it's just nothing but pornography, hardcore pornography that we advocate, child molestation and all that, that we're a bunch of child molesters, convicted child molesters, and pretty well I've gone ahead and pointed out to over on the Monkey Barrel and other places that Jeremy Visser is essentially, he's just like Brian Reno. He goes ahead and wants to go ahead and censor actual Christian Identity pages while pretending to be Christian Identity or pretending to be a minister. There's no difference between him and Brian Real morally, other than Brian Real at least has a little bit more bravery than than Jeremy Visser does. And pretty well Keith has said, well, maybe I'll just go ahead and let him take the show down. And I says, well, no. I'm going to go ahead and use this to essentially kick Jeremy Visser forever out of Christian Identity.
We talked to you a while ago, this bullshit would come to an end. But you don't want to do it, so what else can I say?
Well, Russ, I mean, the thing about it is, Russ, you do understand that these courts are absolutely corrupt, don't you?
Absolutely. No,
absolutely.
So
if you go ahead, you sue somebody, there's a chance that the court will go ahead and rule against you and then let your enemies take out as much money as they want in lawyer fees, don't you?
That's a long story. It's only in civil rights cases, I think, can they sue for lawyer fees, Martin. I mean, I don't think it's appropriate in years.
Well, you can. And, you know, what I'd be suing is that the Digital Millennium Copyright Act essentially calls for lawyer fees to be paid for by the losing party.
I don't know.
What happens is that in many cases, essentially Brian Reel has pretty well figured out is that he's risking a good deal. He's a coward. And what happens is he didn't only take down my web pages. He went ahead and took down a bunch of NIMBUSTER's web pages. He took down, a pervert site called Upstanding Citizens. Essentially, Brian Reel, he was a coward before. He's even more of a coward because he's scared. He's scared crapless that, from what I gather, even before he started all this nonsense, he was scared that someone would go ahead and plug him. That's why he would hide in Daddy's basement with a Kevlar vest here. Can you imagine that after he's gone ahead and taken down other people's websites and YouTube videos and everything like that? That's pretty well.
One day there'd be a hundred suspects.
Yes, that's exactly what Brian Reel's smart enough to understand. He's an evil little bastard, but he's smart enough to understand about how much he's being hated. What happens, he's smarter than the pigs. The pigs seem to think that they're going to be, Donna Fullerton thinks she's going to be in power forever. Tuesday night, I'm going to go ahead and show up and tell old Donna that essentially she's gone ahead and she's bought a federal civil rights lawsuit. He bought a lawsuit, but not only just for City Grammy, I'm going to go ahead and go after a little meerkat. He's going to have to pay out the ass on his own. And essentially, Donna, you've already run your mouth about how this is not, like you claim, a health issue because them buildings haven't infected anybody. They've been there for 50 years. Nobody's come down with anything because they're falling apart. Right? Essentially, you've gone ahead and said that you don't like how they look. Well, Donna, who gives a rat's ass? You know what I mean? This is my property. But more to the point, Donna, why do you think you get to go ahead and use your local crooked pigs and perhaps the local crooked police court to go ahead and get your way?
But, Martin, nothing has happened yet. You're all been out of shape over what you think may take place. Nothing.
No, no, I've been out of shape. I mean, let's say, okay, Russ, let's say you go ahead and essentially you know that niggers go ahead and rape white women at a rate of 50 to 1. You know, 50 to 1 because, well, Harold Cubfield's talked about this. White men don't, you know, find niggers. I mean, normal white men find niggers ugly. You know what I mean? No normal white man would even think of fucking a nigger unless it's as a sort of novelty just to go ahead and prove that he wants to screw a nigger. You know, I mean, I used to buy whores in Germany here, and I never screwed a nigger. You know what I mean? They had a few niggers there, but I never screwed one. You know what I mean? But in any case, you know, white men do not rape, you know, do not rape nigger women. Well, one or two, but if somebody, you know, okay, but the point of it is that, shoot, how they went ahead, you know, how the Ku Klux Klan kept the niggers in check is that during the Reconstruction, the rapes, you know, the rates of these freed niggers over against white women went ahead and up, you know, increased here. And then it was during the, you know, the time between 1865 and 1875 or 1876, 1877, that essentially the white men got together in a secret society. And yes, Logan, you know, I do realize that it was founded by little Masonic wannabes here. But essentially the Ku Klux Klan had a function. The function was to go ahead and act like pretty well an irregular terrorist organization to go ahead and take care of the scalawags, i.e. the local traders, take care of the carpetbaggers, i.e. damn Yankees coming in to steal, and to keep track of the, you know, keep hold of the niggers. And essentially, most of the time when the Klan operated, essentially they'd go to the old niggers and tell, look, old niggers, you keep your bucks in line. You keep them from running around and not even talking to white women, not even looking bad at white women, because if we end up having to go ahead and one of your stupid nigger bucks goes ahead and rapes a white woman, we're going to go ahead and clear nigger town off the face of the map. And that's what ended up happening in Margaret Mitchell's, you know, Gone with the Wind. Folks, it's creatures like Donna Fullerton and the Donna Fullertons in every single city who believe, you know, and with the local pigs, that they can do and they can harass white people all they want. And essentially, what I'm telling these people is that, you know, look, pig, we got a long memory. There's no such thing as, you know, I mean, essentially, you commit an act of treason against white people, you and your whole family die. And I had Ron Durgy, the sheriff. He was all upset when I told him is that for your actions, your great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren are responsible for your crimes. You know, they are to be put to death for what you did. So there is no statute of limitations if you commit an act of racial treason as a regime criminal. And folks, I said before here, whether or not what Donna, you know, I'm quite sure old Donna Fullerton's going to be all butthurt. I'm quite sure, you know, because I wanted to go against this bitch who went and tore down my chicken house. And before this crap came up here, the statute of limitations had gone ahead and gone. But now I can go ahead and claim it's a civil rights violation and go against that little bitch for tearing down my chicken house. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, your chicken house was peanuts. Hey, let's discuss some other things. First of all, these white bitches who want to deal with niggers, they probably have a 20 or 30 times higher chance of picking up AIDS. This is Yahweh retribution.
Well, he said, you know, what happens is that William Pierce went ahead and said, according to statistics, it is 14 and a half times the chance of getting AIDS and syphilis than you do if you went ahead and screwed a Whigger guy. And then the next week, you know, William Pierce said, excuse me, I was wrong. It's 15 and a half times. You know, not 14 and a half times. It's 15 and a half times the chance of getting AIDS and getting, you know, syphilis from screwing niggers. You know, than you do screwing stupid wiggers, you stupid college heifers. And essentially, I'm going ahead and covered that even within Christian identity, you end up having a bunch of people who are, you know, their children are pretty well in public schools, and they are taught, you can't spank me. You can't do anything to me. I can do whatever I want to do. I can go ahead and do whatever I want to. And no, you end up having some of them marrying beaners. Now, very few of them marry niggers, but you have some of them marrying even Jews. You know what I mean? Even Christian identity families, some of their daughters are marrying niggers and beaners.
Women, the reason women are the weaker sex, white women are weaker sex, because they have an affinity for niggers, mutts, and everything else. It's, they're not the weaker sex because of physical strength or size or anything like that. Eve knowingly did what the hell she did. It wasn't an accident, and this is just the weakness of women. You see it all the time.
Well, I mean, Satan said he seduced Eve. He didn't say he raped her. You know what I mean? He said he seduced her. Correct?
Well, she has the weakness. Their weakness, the white women have the weakness. They don't, it's just the way it is, Martin. That's the weakness they have, and that's just the way it is. And let them all get the goddamn AIDS as far as I'm concerned. Niggers, see, people, look, I've lived in the South Coast a lot. The reason niggers have so much disease is they screw left and right. You know?
Well, a nigger. Okay.
And the disease is rampant, and if they get sick, they don't go to doctors. I mean, colored people in general are much sicker than white people. Their eyes, the whites of their eyes are brownish, like
yellowish.
I can't describe that.
It's sort of like a piss yellow. It's sort of like a stale piss yellow. They call white people, the Indians and everybody else called white people white eyes, because not only were their eyes blue or light colored, the whites of their eyes is light colored. And we've discussed that usually the eyes are the first thing to go, because you can't really bleach your eye pigment. You can't really bleach your eye color. You can bleach your hair, correct?
Well, yeah. Another thing people don't realize, in the South in general, it's unusual to find a colored man who's over 60. They simply die off.
Well, a nigger, like people say, have said before, a nigger is just a life support system for a nigger cock. When I was, you know, locked up in the nut house over at Biggs, it was 60% black, and usually it wasn't just rape, murder. It was, you know, like my first roommate, rape, you know, sodomy, murder, and then a little bit of cannibalism, you know, this niggler niece. And essentially, I went ahead and looked. It seems like niggers end up having all the disease, which are common to niggers, and they have the diseases, which are common to whites as well. The average nigger has easily twice the high blood pressure of whites. They have all the diseases, and usually when we were in line for medication, even your nuttiest niggers would have twice the number of pills that your nuttiest white man would have, you know, literally.
Let me ask you a question. I know they're much higher in diabetes than whites are. Is this genetic, or is this the lifestyle they wear?
It's genetic, but it's also, I believe, you know, I've told Roxy that, you know, essentially she needs to go ahead, you know. What happens is that I've been pretty well maintaining about 250 pounds ever since I got out of the nut house. You know, I'm overweight by about 30 pounds, but essentially what I do is most of the time I go ahead and just drink tea, which is made not in the microwave, but, you know, made on a Mr. Coffee filter, and I will, you know, 12 cups I'll go ahead and, you know, sweeten with about a third of a cup of white sugar. But this what I believe has gone ahead and destroyed most people's pancreas. I mean, you hear more of these people like Steve Jobs and Patrick Swayze and William Pierce and all that. They're dying from pancreatic cancer. And nowadays, if you have pancreatic cancer, like I said, I don't care if you're Steve Jobs and you manage to go ahead and cut the line and buy you a brand new liver. But, essentially he got another 5 years because he jumped the line in Memphis and bought him a liver. But this, I think this high fructose corn syrup.
Jobs was a screw up. He was some kind of strange jackass.
Well, he was some sort of Syrian mamzer. He was some sort of Syrian mamzer.
Up there in California and drink a lot of wine and everything else. Probably eat shrimp and everything else. I mean.
Well, I think this high fructose corn syrup, your body, your pancreas isn't meant to drink a lot of fructose is fruit sugar. It's not meant to go ahead and eat lots and lots and lots of fructose. So if you go ahead and give it the equivalent of about 20 oranges or something like that at one time here, the sugar more, you go ahead and drink the fructose that, it wouldn't go ahead and normally, take here. I believe that's why it's created more pancreatic cancer is this high fructose corn syrup, which is essentially fructose, derived from chemically processing this, genetically modified
corn. You can look it up on the internet, and they go through a double process with enzymes of some kind. It's an artificial product, and
your pancreas isn't used to it. That's why it goes ahead to create far more diabetes as well, because diabetes essentially, there's two types here. There's the original diabetes, which was for young people, and people who got diabetes before 1910, they went ahead and discovered that insulin from animals, from the pancreas, could be used. Well, what happens with type 1 diabetes is caused by the pancreas not excreting enough insulin to go ahead and take care of the normal thing. Well, here you are. You have all these people who are way, way, way fat, more than what they ought to, and they're going ahead taking this high fructose corn syrup, and as a result, the incidence of diabetes among whites and certainly niggers has gone up, many fold. They estimate that two-thirds of adult quiggers, adult Americans, and it counts wiggers and niggers, they think that two-thirds of Americans are obese, clinically obese. They're overweight by more than 20 or 30 pounds. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Way over, and what happens is that if you're fat, real big and fat, you're going to, she has diabetes. Now, she has an underactive thyroid. That's what caused most of it. But, folks, you end up, you go ahead being fat, you're eating this high fructose, stuff, which, is not normal food. You're going to go ahead and get more and more diabetes. And what happens is that niggers especially are not able to control their appetites. They don't have any higher functioning brains. And as a result, yes, they are far more sick because they, they fall prey to both the diseases of niggers and wiggers. And, here they are having a diet. I mean, a nigger will choke down and love what was essentially the fat which is around a pig's guts. They will eat pig gut fat. They call it chitlins. You know what I mean? And, folks.
What chitlins are all about?
Huh?
I've eaten chitlins at times. It's a very porky, it's a very powerful porky thing. They love the damn chitlins. They love it.
It's pig guts surrounded by fat. It's pig fat gut. It's pig gut fat is what it is.
But it's the intestines of the pig chopped up. They love it. Oh, they love it.
Yes, but it has the fat with it, too.
Sure, you go to a grocery store, you see the neighbors buy a tremendous amount of pork. You want to eat the pork? Trust me, they are addicted to pork like you wouldn't believe. Maybe because it's a cheap meat, I don't know why, but they eat all kinds of pork. And it's killing them off. It's just simply killing them off.
Well, they're not long-lived. I mean, you do understand that your average nigger is not a blue gum nigger anymore. Blue gums are rather rare. Most of them are yellow shit-colored niggers, and as a result, they end up having the disease of both whites and blacks, okay?
I don't know what they have. I can tell you, when I was in prison, a lot of them had their backs were full of stab wounds and gunshot deals and everything else. By nature, they're violent. And these white bitches don't realize, if they get involved with a nigger, they're going to be treated like the whores they are.
Well, they get involved with beaters here. Essentially, what they're going to be doing is they're essentially making themselves into a gorda.
Into a what?
Into a gorda. That's what the beaters call a fat wigger. They call her a gorda. Gorda.
I'll tell you what, let me get off right now. Let Logan come on and see what he has to say.
Okay. Anyway, see niggers, they have all diseases, and they don't have higher functioning. They don't have higher functioning brains. Your average nigger, you know, he might be a little bit smarter than a blue gum. But essentially, the average nigger IQ, according to the bell-shaped curve and according to all the IQ tests, is 85. Essentially, they are, you know, their average nigger is at the very bottom of the standard white, you know, intelligence standard deviation here. Supposedly, average white IQ is 100. Well, it was 100 about 100 years ago. Now it's about 98 or so, because people have gotten dumber, you know, because of, you know, downbreeding. Okay? So, standard deviation among whites is what? You know, on blacks is 14.5%. So, in short, at 85 IQ, that's pretty well low normal, is what it is. The average nigger has a low normal white IQ. So, are they able to go ahead and think about the consequences of their actions? No, they did a study about niggers to where a nigger was offered twice the size candy bar if he had waited another day. Every single time the niggers chose to have the smaller candy bar right now rather than twice as large candy bar next week, they're not able to deploy, you know, your average nigger is not able to go ahead and delay his gratification. So as a result, nigger criminality is rather high. Now, would it matter? And the answer is no. It wouldn't matter, essentially, if niggers live in nigger countries. Do I give a crap what niggers do in Nigeria? No. Do I give a crap what Arabs do in Iraq or Afghanistan? The answer is no. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll get to the next segment. We'll get to the next segment. Hail Victor. Okay, well, Logan, I'm ready for you to call in. Go ahead and give me a call. Okay. Hello. Is Logan?
Hello.
Yeah, hello. How you doing?
Hi, this is Logan.
Yeah, I heard you. It sounds like you got a little bit of feedback. I think it's on your end, too.
Hold on, let me turn the radio down.
You bet. Okay. Turn the computer down.
Hey, is there some kind of delay on the phone, on the talk shoot?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
15 to 30 seconds, usually.
That's fine. Well, listen, I was listening to the conversation you and Russell were having. The chat room started out pretty good, but I think there's some dog bots or some phonies. I know there's some phonies because Frankenwigger last week was from Pennsylvania and he was a white power man, and now he's saying all this homosexual shit and he's bashing the Nazis and he's pretending to be somebody he's not. So anyway, you just gotta be careful who gets in the chat room.
Well, I don't know. This is not normal for Frankenwigger, but on the other hand, he said he was a gay Nazi, so I'm wondering what the heck. Okay, there's two Frankenwiggers. You know what I mean?
And
what happens to this other?
Hey, I guess there's a good Frankenwigger and a bad Frankenwigger. You know, that may be true, but all this shit you hear about the good Jews and bad Jews is a lie because Yahweh said all the Jews are bad.
Well, they're all the spawn of Satan. That's why there's no such thing as a good Jew. Okay?
And, you know, I guess Jim Wickstrom said, Jim Wickstrom said the only good Jew is a dead Jew, but actually, I guess, you know, in a sense, that would still be a bad Jew because he'd be polluting the ground. Because the way I see it, you know, Yahweh said they're all going by fire because fire will completely consume all the corruption. Because, you know, you got to think about it. Their dead bones is still a pollution. You know?
Well, I'm looking at the chat, and you know, it looks like Frank and the gay Frank and Wigger, and the real Frank and Wigger. Why it's spelled exactly the same, and I don't see no underscore. So, I got to laugh here about you know, I got to go ahead and laugh here. Now, what I could do is I could go ahead and punish the fake Frank and Wigger by essentially going ahead and muting one of them here. It's sort of like in Star Trek, to where you have these doppelgangers here, where you had William Shatner is a Jew. Well, William Fink, he's a Jew too here, and I'm, you know, you know, I mean,
William Shatner, I saw his interview on TV. He admitted he was a Jew, and he said it in high school that he got beat up because he was a Jew, and all the mean kids in school beat him up, which probably is a bunch of shit because most Jews can buy their way out of anything anyway, you know. And really, I mean, most people, unless they really get an awakening, most white people kiss the Jew ass, and there's very little persecution. You know, the only time, you know, the Jews have been kicked out of a lot of countries over the years.
For good reason.
But, see, it's always gotten to the desperate point. It's always gotten to the point where they were kidnapping the children, they were drinking the blood, they were doing their ritual sacrifices, and all their satanic sacrifices. Mm-hmm. They were taking over the money and looting everything. And, you know, it always, with the white race, especially with the Jew, but it always has to get to just the worst possible scenario before they take any action. You know, they forget their identity, they forget Yahweh's laws. You know, maybe they get on Sunday morning, they go to the phony churches and they pray. But this is the reason we're in a lot of trouble. And I'll tell you what, I cannot stress enough, Martin, that for me, you know, since I didn't grow up with Yahweh and his laws, I didn't grow up with my two seed-line identity, and all I was taught my whole life was a lie, I can never go back to a lie. And that's why, to me, you know, if you keep Yahweh's laws, you're going to be blessed. And one of his laws is racial segregation.
Oh, I agree.
Not just as a couple. You know, I married what I thought was a white woman, and I found out she was a part black, part Jew, and part Asiatic, and I got an annulment. I didn't have any kids with her, okay?
For which you should be grateful.
I'm very grateful.
August Christ, supposedly his first wife was a Kykus, and he had a few kids by her, and she went ahead and she offered some phony child molestation charges against him, and he managed to beat it because it was bogus. But basically, end up having to pay alimony to the Kykus, and you know, he nearly got convicted for that.
The thing is that, you know, I heard you talking earlier like you would never fuck a nigger. Well, even before I came into identity, I never wanted to date anybody outside of my race. Period.
Yeah. I mean, that's normal. That's normal. But essentially, we're talking the fact that essentially white on black rape is almost non-existent. I mean, maybe it occurs, maybe one out of, you know, maybe in six instances. And
yeah,
if you go ahead and look, it's probably a beaner that's going ahead and raping the niggers. You know what I mean?
Okay. And that's supposed white on black rape that happens one in a million. It's probably a Jew probably a white looking Jew pretending to be white. A lot of the crime that's committed by whites in some instances is Jews. Okay, I was talking to there's so many mongrels. I just sent Russell and you both an email about a Jew, Jersey Jew rabbi, that was caught trying to embezzle millions of dollars. He's only going to get 5 years, and he probably will get off of maybe 6 months in a country club prison with good behavior or something. The thing is, most Jews don't ever do any hard time, especially the rich and powerful. Now, the reason Bernie Madoff got taken down is most of the people he stole from was from other Jews.
Well, no, it wasn't, but he did steal from other Jews toward the end.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Okay, not most, but some of the people he stole was from other Jews. So the thing is,
well, I'm plus it's $25 billion at least.
The thing is, Jews fight to steal from each other. The Illuminati, the Rockefellers are Jews, and the Rothschilds are Jews, but the Rothschilds are more powerful. And over the years, they've had some mafia feuds, and the Rothschilds had to kill off some of the Rockefellers. Kennedy, John F. Kennedy was a Jew, so was Bobby.
I know that.
Yeah, well, that's the truth, and Comte had all the proof on that.
Huh.
Go look it up. Okay, and most people in identity, a lot of them know it, and some of them don't. I've had to educate them. Okay, John F. and Bobby Kennedy were Jews from Ireland. Okay, you've got Jews in all the
ways. I knew that old Kuykenhauer was a Jew, but...
Yes, he was. And not only that, his mom had black blood. On top of being Jew, he had part black. And so was Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was part black and part Jew.
Well, I've heard that Abraham Lincoln was a Melungeon Jew. So, I mean, fathered by one of the Rothschilds, no less, here. When old Nancy Hank was supposedly a serving wench here. In North Carolina.
Abraham Lincoln's wife was a real rich lady that had a bunch of slaves.
Well, yeah, Mary Todd Lincoln. I was looking at her, and she got pretty well mad because her surviving son, Robert, went ahead and had her put in the nut house for 6 months. So she never talked really to him after he went ahead and had her put in the nut house for 6 months. So she had plenty of money, so she bought a house and essentially just looked out the top window here of it here. And everybody thought she was a freakazoid by then here. But she'd had a lot of problems here. What with essentially all her kids except one of them dying, and her husband getting his head blown off here, but. I don't know. I've heard that John Wilkes Booth was a Jew, so I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But he certainly was, from my Gary, he certainly was a Mason. And, someone was, pointing out that old, dishonest Abe wanted to initially ship all the niggers back to Africa. And then later on, he was trying to go ahead and buy Cuba, ship the niggers to Cuba. He was trying to ship them to Honduras. He was trying to ship them everywhere. And eventually, since he went ahead and got all these nigger soldiers, toward the end, he was talking about letting niggers vote, even. And pretty well that pissed everybody off. And I've heard a lot of, display about that here. So anyway, I've also heard the Jews killed Kennedy, so I don't know. Oh, by the way.
I tell everybody, both the Kennedys were screwing Marilyn Monroe. They were both members of the Church of Satan started by Anton LaVey. And Jane Mansfield and Marilyn Monroe were both like the whores in that church. They were MK Ultra whores or whatever, satanic. Anyway, the thing is, the only good thing John F. Kennedy did was he passed Executive Order 11110 or whatever, or one, I forget what it was. They had one and a bunch of zeros. But it's what, it was to create a new money system backed by gold. Okay. So,
well, I heard that essentially what he was going to do, he was going to go ahead and sell United States notes like old dishonest Abe did. Supposedly the Rothschilds wanted him to go ahead and borrow money from them. He said, no, I'll just print up my own greenbacks. What Kennedy tried to do was supposedly in the best conspiracy theory I heard was that Kennedy was going to go ahead and print what he called, not Federal Reserve notes, but United States notes backed on the Treasury upon all the silver. And essentially, remember, you had silver dollars, you had silver quarters, you had silver dimes. until, you know, until the next year, 1964. And then the very first quarter, when, you know, after was 1965, within 2 months, you could not find a silver coin because they melted them all. And essentially what Kennedy was going to do is he was going to create not upon the gold standard, because the Jews have loved the gold standard because it's easier to corner the market in gold than it is in silver. Usually white people have preferred a bimetallic standard, i.e. gold, but most of the time they prefer to have silver running. And I don't know if you remember William Jennings Bryan and the Grange and the rest of these farmers wanted to have what they call free silver, to where silver was the coinage, the main coinage.
Yeah, he ran for president, and he was at the Skelt's Monkey's Trial.
I'm looking at 1898. You will not crucify man upon, you know, a cross of gold, is what he said in 1898, his first run for president.
I know a little bit about him. I don't know as much as you on that subject, but he was at the Skelt's Monkey Trial where
he lost supposedly to William. To Clarence Darrow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Clarence Darrow.
That was in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but the thing is, Martin, is that Yahweh, it's all about Yahweh and his laws. And whenever we try to elevate a man and follow a man and worship a man, Butler, Wickstrom, or whoever, you know, some of these men, they were wrong in some of what they taught. Okay, and unless you put Yahweh and his laws first, you know, we're supposed to love each other as a race, but most of our race can't get along because the Jews have us running after money and power and greed and to stab each other in the back to get ahead. And the thing is, the Jews have used that to divide and conquer. Now, they partially destroyed the black and yellow races, but for the most part, they've used the black and yellow races to destroy the white race. You know, we're talking about differences in race.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Africa, where it's a pure black tribe and they're pure black and they haven't been taught Christianity, they haven't been taught anything of the white man, you know, basically they have their own culture. Okay, Yahweh made them. I don't want to force them to act like a white man. I want them to be whatever they are. I want the Chinese or Goops to be whatever their culture is, because their culture is not Christianity either. And all this shit that we had to force the black and yellow to be Christians, that's all Jewish hogwash, okay? Because all that is for interracial mongrelization and destruction of mainly the white race and the pure races. And, you know, we're talking about how they use the other races, like okay, the white women. Okay, the white women are easy to buy with a lot of money. Now that the white man can make, you know, no matter how smart and how hard he tries, he can't, unless he becomes a Freemason like Ron Paul or some of these other men, unless he becomes a Freemason or unless he sells out to the Jew, a white man's not going to get ahead and get a lot of money. Well, most white women, I hate to say it, maybe 100 years ago it wasn't this way, most white women are not going to go for a poor white man that is telling the truth. If some white man's like telling the truth, like me or you, and it's a supermodel or something, they're going to go after the rich Jew or the rich nigger or the rich, you know, even if the spick has money, you know? I mean, that's just what I see, okay? I mean, where is the white racial pride in America, Martin?
But there isn't any. You know, What you end up having is that some of these people who come in, well, I've seen over at the Monkey Barrel, you end up having shit-skinned mams or faggots like this guy called Intrepid, you know, I call him Gilded. He goes ahead and pretends to be a Croat, you know, character here. You have old Jeremy Visser. You have this character I call Kentucky Chomo Mwanji. He used to call himself Free White Man. And essentially, the beer barrel started out because they weren't censoring enough people. Well, you end up having this Jew named Johnson. He brought in this other Jew named Bluto. And essentially, over on the beer barrel, which I call the Monkey Barrel, I'm a stick nigger now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many white people, you know, white men go ahead and give me give me a good thing here. What happens is that essentially the Mamsers will go ahead and run wild here. Now, back in March of this year, Brian Rio went ahead and went to this wigger, named Jay, who is married a Beaner woman. He lives in Texas. He married a Beaner woman. I had a stillborn Beaner kid by her the first time, and I don't know what the heck he wanted. He wanted to go ahead and run a forum again, and he runs a forum for about 6 months. He gets tired of it, and essentially what he did was that without any saying, he went ahead and deleted. He went ahead and deleted all the posts that I made over on the Beer Barrel. So now you have, back over on Stumble Inn, here's Jeremy Visser. He goes ahead in September. He deletes all his posts he can, and there's some of them that I locked, and I go ahead and, way back in 2009, there was this here Sephardic Belgian Jew named, Maud the Fraud Flanders. There's this forum. Okay, there's this forum. He's known as Leshrac on VNNF. He's over on Mutant Sperm, which is run by this nigger named Daryl Lamont Jenkins here as a token nigger.
Oh, no, I have heard of him. He used to call in Hal Turner all the time, and he was like a gay black guy.
Well, he's gay, but I imagine he would be. Most niggers are sort of gay. A nigger male is nothing more than a life support system for a nigger dick. So what happens is that most niggers are, essentially what happens is that that's why this Jerry Sandusky character got away with it so often, because essentially what he was doing is he was screwing 9 and 10 year old niggers, and essentially these young nigglets were essentially just holding him up for money, for ransom, for whatever they could get. A nigger really has no sense of sexual shame at all. That's why they're niggers.
Wait a minute, are you saying Sandusky was only screwing black kids, or
he was mainly screwing nigger kids? That's why he got away with it for so long.
Sandusky looks like a Jew, and absolutely 100% Joe Hook Nose Paterno is absolutely a Jew. So that's just a bunch of damn Jews being pedophiles.
Well, essentially, from what I gather, the reason Sandusky got away with it, it wasn't like he was screwing rich soccer moms, wigger kids. Essentially, from what I gather, he was mainly screwing niggers.
You're saying that even if the kids weren't consensual, their parents were getting money out of it.
The nigglet was getting money out of it, and probably whatever parents or single nigger mom parents there were. But then again, that's among Anglo mestizos as well. I mean, one of my roommates, he was he went ahead and claimed he was bit by a spider, which made him insane. So he was having sex with a 6-year-old girl, and he was the third. He was the third out of 4 people who had sex with a 6-year-old girl. Now her mother was. I mean, you have these Anglo mestizos who literally will sell their children, will go ahead and sell their children as sex toys to the well-to-do and then go ahead and blackmail them.
That used to be a big deal on the border down in Mexico.
Well, where Phillips 66, Bartlesville, Oklahoma is where this guy used to be. He used to be a fireman. And essentially what he did is that he claimed he was insane. When was I over there? It was over in 2008. He used to be at Hearns. He caused trouble at Mammal Security, so they went ahead and sent him to medium security. And he'd been there since 1996. And essentially he claimed he got bit by a black widow spider, and that made him nuts to where he was having sex with a 6-year-old girl here. Me and him used to have, go ahead and have a big fight over it, because he thought Jews were God's chosen people, and that the mark of Cain was sort of like a Mormon belief. And essentially, the guy was, he wasn't mean or vicious. He was just sort of stupid.
Was he a white man? Was he thick?
No, he was a white guy here, but he had a freaking American Indian wife here, and I think she was really a Beaner. And essentially in Oklahoma you have a bunch of these Anglo mestizos. You have a bunch of these Indians. I call them Anglo mestizos. And essentially him and me, he used to be all mad, nasty got was when, I know you're a white supremacist. I'm going to go ahead and tell the doctor here that you're worse than Adolf Hitler. You're worse than Joseph Stalin. You want to go ahead and kill a lot of people here. You want to go ahead and take advantage of this, collapse which is coming. You want to go ahead and kill a whole bunch of, of whites and, Mexicans and blacks here. You're just worse than that here. And I said, Larry, you dumbass, go ahead and tell the damn doctor here. Shit, I've already told them goofy bastards that here. It's already written in my chart, so there's no need for you to be a bitch and snitch me out. Tell the damn nigger psychiatrist or the Jew psychiatrist here that, that I'm an Aryan Nations Christian Identity Klansman maniac, because, they already know that shit. I've already seen it written in my charts. So you don't need to go ahead and snitch me out about what a asshole maniac I am, because the damn psychiatrist already knows this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Talking about Oklahoma, even Carrie Underwood, she's country music. You can tell she's got Indian or some kind of Asian or something in her. Look at her eyes.
She's an Anglo-Mestizos of some sort.
Yeah, she's got some kind of Mexican. Now, that other country music girl, Taylor Swift, she's got slant Asian eyes. I bet you she's got Jew in her. I bet you, Taylor Swift. I'm telling you, Martin, they have not only taken over not only rock and roll is Jewish, but you look at some of the country music, is mongrel. It's not pure white. Like 50 years ago, country music. I mean, you've always had a few token Jews in all the entertainment industry, but 50 years ago, it was more white looking. Okay, now country music is no different than so-called rock.
Well, it's sort of like music, I mean, Taylor Swift was sort of cute, but I don't know if she is or not. I mean, it's not like I meet her every day. You know what I mean?
Look at her eyes. Okay, go look at her eyes. She's not pure white. I think she has Jew in her. And she's just like Madonna. If you spin her music backwards, it's all satanic.
Well, I don't know about that. It's just that, Madonna's just she's just a nasty old, white skank of some sort or another.
Madonna claims to, she reads the Talmud.
Yeah, she reads the Kabbalah. She does all this other Jew shit here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I never took, I laughed when she was younger and she played the Material Girl. I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was a hilarious thing because essentially it was pretty well a song by skanks about their skankhood, about how they are the Material Girl and essentially only boys that save their pennies make my rainy day or whatever here. And I used to play it. I thought it was hilarious. I laughed my head about it. I laughed my head off about that.
Who the hell would want to save up their money and screw that? Now? I mean, if you're a white man and you're keeping Yahweh.
Well, she married a nigger, didn't she? She married a nigger of some sort or another.
No, she's the whole one of the NBA basketball team. Even Charles Barkley got on TV and started making fun of her, saying she screwed about half the black players in the NBA. I mean, she's just a mega whore.
Well, I just thought she'd have screwed all the ones who'd gone. I mean, niggers will screw anything, so I assume she screwed all the nigger basketball players. But Charles Barkley only says only half of them. Well, that's fine by me.
She's either a white whore or she's a Jew.
No, I don't think she's white. I think she, she might be part Jew, but essentially she's some Italian skank or something like that. Her name was Kissio or. It's sort of like, it sounded like some sort of Cacchione or whatever here, or something here. She was some Roman Catholic skankus, WAP skankus.
Now, Lady Gaga's definitely a mongrel, and I think she's probably a Jew, too.
I heard she's one of these Roman, she's sort of like an Eli James sort of Jew, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Eli James is a Jew, I know that, and Dan Johns. And I didn't think about the Crohn's disease, because supposedly his son has Crohn's or something.
Yeah, his son has Crohn's, and what happens 2004, Bradley Jenkins and August Christ and Charles Juba wanted to whip his ass because they thought he was a Jew from New Jersey. And I used to think he was just a red nigger from Georgia, but, it turns out that he is a Jew boy from, Jersey. And, anyway, I was going to go ahead and talk about... I went ahead and, hey, APOC, I went ahead and, I can't really go ahead and talk on Skype while I'm doing this show. So anyway, had on Skype come up to where you had old Jet Rink and a few other people come in here. Freemason Stock, T.I. Folks, I went ahead and blocked T.I. Vancouver because T.I. Vancouver spammed within the last two shows. He went in and spammed this forum. So if I see you, you spammed before, I'm going to go ahead and block your ass because I'm not going to put up with any spamming. You can go ahead and say whatever stupid crap you want to say as long as you don't spam. So anyway, getting on with it here, what you end up having is that, I don't know if Taylor Swift is, she looks like a pretty white girl, you know what I mean?
Well, this is what's happened, though. There's been so much mongrelization. I mean, my ex-wife that had serpent seed in her, she looked better than Taylor Swift, okay? And there are some white women, like in country music. I don't think Taylor Swift is pure white, and we've already said that what's her name is Mestizo from Oklahoma, Carrie Underwood. And the thing is, even the white people they have in the entertainment industry, they're all Jew lovers. They're all Judeo-Christians, and they all kiss the Jew ass.
Well, Luke Lavellian, he went ahead and once did what's called CMT. It's called Country Music Television, but he used to call it Country Muzak Television. And essentially, this was when old Shania Twat. See, Shania Twat is white, but she's some hybrid nigger. But she was raised by a red nigger in Canada, and essentially, she married this Jew named Mutt Lang. And I was in Nut House. She caught old Mutt screwing the French maid, and she went ahead and divorced old Mutt. And essentially, I used to listen to her songs all the time here, but essentially, this guy, Luke Lavellian, went ahead. He used to have his own little, column, and he used to make fun of Jews and the rest of it. And he initially made the mistake of using his own name. And he lived somewhere in California, and Jews really went ahead and hammered the crap out of him. And people who've been in the movement, they know who I'm talking about. He pretty well, I said I'd change his name to Luke Lavellian from what it used to be. And essentially, he pretty well, he's sort of like Alex Curtis. He got run out of the movement here by Jew oppression. But he went ahead and made this thing about country music television about, what can you expect? Because CMT, or as he called it, Country Music Television, is run by this dirty Jew named Summer Redstone, whose name used to be, I forget what the heck it was before that. It was a real kike name, but he changed it to Summer Red, And essentially, CMT was owned by this Jew. And
your Cleveland stations are owned by Jews. All of them are owned by Jews.
Murray Rothstein, that's what it is here. Okay, the real William B. is in there, and I'll ask William B. to go ahead and call in, and maybe APOC and a few others, maybe Mona. Pretty well, what I've done is the last three shows I've gone ahead and recorded, and I haven't really worked on them. What I've done is I've gone ahead and given the link to TalkShoe at 32, kilobytes per second. And what I did is I go ahead and I boost it by 300%, and I limit to 16 bits, and I go ahead and post it over on mamzers.org. And
it sounds real good because I've already downloaded two of your shows, the last two, and they sound really good.
Oh, did they? Well, the last, what happens is that up to 101.5. I prefer to record an MP3 format because it has three times the dynamic range of a cell phone on to TalkShoe. Okay?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm looking at the real William B. He's pretty well on to old Visser. But, anyway, let's go ahead and talk about something about your show here. I'm going to go ahead and have Keith tell TalkShoe. And, folks, TalkShoe, They have a front man called Dr. Robert White, but essentially TalkStew is incorporated in Delaware by some Jews, and the main TalkStew hunter is some guy called Bruce Pringlemeyer, and I think he's a Jew. Pringlemeyer, M-E-Y-E-R. You know what I mean? And essentially, I've been given, the way he acted here when Brian Real and Eli James took me down the first time, I think Pringlemeyer is a Jew. And essentially, this guy went ahead and he listened to Visser's bullshit about how me and Keith are convicted child molesters. We talk about how to molest children on, Keith's Bible study. And essentially, we're just saying fuck, 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 fuck all the time. In the chat, and I'll just pretty well say is that no.
He's always lying. They always,
pretty well, Visser is doing the lying. And essentially, what happens is that he had Obi go ahead and give a bad one, and they've been gloating about boycotting Keith Southworth, and now what they've done is they pulled a total Jew trick, like Eli James, did. And essentially, I point out on the Monkey Barrel is that what happens is that Visser went ahead in order to get out of stalking charge on December 2nd, 2010, went ahead and told the judge, look, I'm not a white man. I'm not a white supremacist. Here's my full-blooded brother. He looks like a Mexican. He married an even darker Mexican woman who has a nigger, nigger child.
Really? Okay, so is
Visser really a mongrel? Visser's really a mongrel. What happens, he's a high yellow mongrel, and William B. says he's not only a red nigger, he's a nigger. But what happens, in order to get out of a stalking chart, what happens is that he has this sort of high yellow hybrid niggeress named Bridget, and I guess her last name is, maiden name was Halpern. She was the youngest of four daughters to some stupid hybrid nigger, and the mother is a Roman Catholic, and Visser, she didn't like Visser marrying her youngest, most spoiled daughter, because essentially he's just a man's criminal, and essentially he just would go ahead and in 10 years of marriage, they had four kids. Now the kids, look blonde, but they have dark cork eyes, they have burnt cork eyes, and so does Visser. And essentially, Visser also, Visser's just a criminal. He was in with this Brian Wright, a.k.a. Billy Woods here, and essentially he used to hang around these people at Volksfront or something like that. And what happens is Morris Gillette went ahead and ordained Brian Wright, and he ordained Jeremy Visser into his church.
And Morris Gillette lost his mind? I mean, he's got mongrels?
What happens is you got to understand, Morris Gillette claims to be Aryan Nations. He goes ahead and he ordained, he ordained both me and Pastor John Britton. Pastor John Britton didn't pay much attention to his ordination because Pastor John Britton got ordained by his dad and his Uncle Newman, so he didn't really need it. Me, I sort of ignored it by going in for paying $25 for my own church. You know what I mean? I got to laugh at these idiots who go ahead and back on the old days, you used to have this thing to, you can become a ordained minister, go to our seminary for 3 years, two half-year systems, and pay $1,400 per semester. So in short, you go ahead, you learn some Baal priest horse shit, just like Greg Howard does. I think Greg Howard's white, but he's just a skillet-licking Baptist, hobbyist tard. He's the sidekick of Eli James. And essentially, here I'm looking at this stupid shit. And essentially, hey, I just went ahead and paid, what happens, Morris Gillette, what happens is that I first got in touch with Pastor John Britton in December of 2004 or January of 2005. I just had gotten kicked off of VNNF. Because of the Christmas coup, I went ahead and had a fit about Trader Glenn Miller. Now, for 4 years, I pretend to be Trader Glenn Miller's friend in order to go ahead and, crap on him, because I went ahead and essentially cleared it with Lewis Beam and Katya Lane and David Lane first. I said, well, look, Trader Glenn Miller's trying to get back in. Let's say I pretend to be his friend on the Internet. And what I'll do is that when he tries to go ahead and get in, he'll talk to reporters and all that, and then I'll tell him about what a piece of shit Trader Glenn Miller was and how he ran out on everybody at Greensboro. I'll pretend to be, Trader Glenn Miller's friend, but I'm going to pull a Trader Glenn Miller on Trader Glenn Miller. And Lewis Beam thought that was, an okay idea, but I had to talk to Katya Lane because she was all upset here because Trader Glenn Miller testified against, her husband, David Lane. And David Lane was trying to get me to become one of his Woden priests, and I said, no, I'm not interested.
David Lane still in jail? Is he still in jail?
No, he died. He died Memorial Day 2007.
Okay.
Now, he might have been killed by Zog. I used to go ahead and talk to him, used to correspond with him through his wife, Katya. And she wasn't his real wife. She was just, he was in prison when he went ahead and married her. And in 2003, she got tired because she was being harassed by the St. Marie's, Idaho Sheriff's Department, and nobody would help her out. So she went ahead and sold her David Lane stuff to Billy Roper, and she moved back to Secaucus, New Jersey. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing about David Lane was, when they were at the, when him and Robert Matthews and all them started the order, they had a lot of things right, and they had Yahweh, and they knew about the Aryan Nations, but then after they got in jail, they kind of got away from Yahweh.
Well, no, it wasn't exactly that. What happens is that, David Lane used to be one of, Butler's ministers, and so did Tom Metzger. Tom Metzger decided he...
I've talked to Tom Metzger, and Tom Metzger basically is an atheist now.
Yeah, he is an atheist. What happens is that I think he was an atheist since he's been born here. What happens, he just went along with Butler for a little time for a way he could get out of it, and he didn't have a problem with, Butler. He had really a problem with Christian identity. I don't have a problem with Metzger. I just assume he'd be an open, honest atheist rather than, I used to get down on creatards, but after Eli James and Finkelstein pretend to be Christian identity and not being that way, I'm sort of tired of Jews and Mamzers pretending to be Christian identity. I wish they'd just be open Jews or creatards or atheists or whatever here. So I'm not going to get down on Tom Metzger for being an honest atheist. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Tom Metzger told me he was an atheist a long time ago.
He was an atheist a long time ago. But Butler, he was ordained by Butler for a little while. So was David Lane.
Well, David Lane went from the God of the Bible to some pagan god like
Woden. Yes, he's a Wodenist. I think I told you he wanted me to be a Wodenist. I said I've gone ahead and done a lot of study of ancient Anglo Saxons. Woden was a tribal chieftain who sort of was on the make around, the 2nd century A.D. I'm not going to worship some character who, from what I gather, people got tired of Woden shit and they killed his ass. You know what I mean? They got a little bit annoyed at, him running around. See, he was the god. He was, supposedly he was the founding god king of the Angles, the Saxons, the Danes, not the Swedes, but, he became, their high god, of a lot of the Germans, but not the Vandals and not the Wends. The Wends were the Slavs. And of the Langobards. And one of the early histories of Widsith is how Woden's Langobard wife, who became, they were called Langobards when they lived in Germany. When they moved to northern Italy, they became, in the late 5th century or 6th century, they became known as the Lombards. But pretty well, they got Woden to pretty well whip ass on the Vandals. So, in any case, the Franks said that Woden was one of their founding god kings. So Woden sort of got around, but he was sort of like the god Romulus. He went ahead and he caused a bunch of shit, and there's some belief that essentially the main people got tired of this crap and went ahead and killed him. Now, from what I gather, what the main thing Woden did is that he displaced Nerthus, you know, Nerthus, who was a female goddess of fertility. He went ahead and displaced her, you know, and put himself up as it somewhere between AD 125 and AD 200. So anyway, I studied a bunch of stuff. I told David Lane that I was not going to become a wokeness. But pretty well what I did say and what I did agree is I would pretend to be Trader Glenn Miller's buddy, and he didn't want to get on the computer. So what happens is that he'd go ahead and talk to the local people at the Aurora paper, at the Springfield paper, and what happens, he said, well, I know Martin Lister. He's on the Internet here. He'll vouch for me. And what happens, they come in and say, well, what do you think about Glenn Miller? I said, well, Glenn has this problem. What he did is that he's a snitch and a rat, and he ran like a coward at Greensboro, like he says in his own book, that he ran like a yellow, you know, for, quote, reinforcements, and essentially ran out of them at Greensboro, you know, in November of 1979. And what he did is that he took money, he took order money, and he went ahead and testified against the order at the Fort Smith Sedition trial. So pretty well everybody, you know, there's a lot of people in the resistance who won't let him come back because he's a snitch. He was in the Federal Witness Protection Program, which is all true. And then old Trader Glenn Miller say, I don't know who the hell told him all that stuff here. Well, what happens is that Trader Glenn Miller, your buddy, Martin Lindstedt, told him about it. Well, anyway, he taught me.
Okay, it's pretty obvious, Martin, that whenever, even if it is a white person and he starts out being identity or for
Well, Trader Glenn Miller ain't a white person. I mean, I remember.
Okay, but here's the thing. If they go to jail and they cut a deal, then they become a snitch. Okay.
Well, that's what Morris Gillette's done. Morris Gillette's a snitch.
So Morris Gillette is definitely. So he got arrested for bank robbery, and instead of doing 20 years in the pen like me or you,
30 years, he got 6. Now what happens, he got control of the Howard Grooms estate here, and he's using that money. Essentially, he's gone ahead and hired Angelo Macizo Truitt. I was talking to Jet and John, you know, and a few other people from the Monkey Barrel, and essentially I told them that, essentially, you know, there's this other guy, Scott Charles Thornton. That guy ain't white. He's got Angelo Macizo in him, and he went to jail for 5 years. And, folks, you keep away from, you know, Morris Gillette, you keep away from Scott Thornton because, essentially, they took a plea bargain. And essentially, you know, they got 6 years in jail, and Scott Thornton, he claims to be Christian identity for a while, but, you know, he claims to be a wokeness, he claims to be a number of things. Stay away from them people. Stay away from them people. And what happens is that on the Jet and John show, Angelo Macizo Truitt, or Alan Truitt, you know, he's in with Eli James. Monday night, they were whining, Eli James and Angelo Macizo Truitt were whining, that all of a sudden they found out that Finkelschini was a no-good Jersey City pig who went ahead and murdered people. Well, folks, people have been saying that ever since Fink got out of prison. It was a public record. And, you know, John Britton was just rubbing it in that, you know, I was fooled by him. You know, he said, I detected Fink was a Jew, he was a liar, he was a crook. And essentially, now that Eli James and Angelo Macizo Truitt and Morris Gillette, you know, now that, you know, Fink has started trouble with them, now they're pretending they just found out that Fink was a murderous Jersey City Jew boy pig. Well, you know, Carolyn Yeager knows that, you know, knows about Fink. Clifton Emmerheiser knows about Fink.
I know, but Carolyn Yeager had William Fink on her show not too long ago.
Yes, I know. I called in. I said, you do know, this is Pastor Martin Lindstedt, you do know that William Fink was in jail for 12 and a half years of a 14-year sentence for murdering a Puerto Rican prisoner while shackled in the, you know, in the Jersey City, you know, probably while shackled in the Jersey City jail. And she said, Mr. Lindstedt, you don't do yourself no favor by calling in like this. I'm going to have to cut you off. And that bitch went ahead and with Mike, she went ahead and, you know, not only cut me off, she went ahead and deleted from the finished product any mention of that here. It was on the live show. It was not on the finished product. So she knows full well voice of, you know, I call they call voice of retard reason. I call voice of retards. It's run by this Jew named Mike. You know, I call Mikey Kike, Jukes Kalikak Connor. But for my Gary, used to be a Jew named Cohen. You know what I mean? Voice of retards is just filled with Jews. It's filled with Zogbot.
There's only a few shows I've listened to on there. They've got mongrels and Jews and the white people like Carolyn Yeager. I don't believe she's a mongrel, but she is a plain Christian. She's not Christian identity, and she doesn't believe that. I mean, she'll say the Germans are right in World War II, and she'll take up the Nazis, which is great, and she will tell the history. But then when it comes to actually saying that all Jews are evil, because she'll just name some of the Jews are evil, and when it comes to actually saying that the Jews are actual spawn of Satan, she doesn't want to go that far.
Well, I go ahead, and I, you know, like when Mona Montgomery's on here, I got this thing by Mona Montgomery likes William Finkelstein. The reason she likes William Finkelstein is that she says he don't take the Bible literally. Well, neither do I. That's why I like it. So occasionally I'll go ahead and log on real quick, and I'll spam Finkelstein's show by saying Mona Montgomery, Oba Genderbender, you know, Carolyn Yeager, and Clifton Emmaheiser are all ovulating to Rabbi Finkelstein. But, you know, then I'll go ahead and log off real quick before they can catch me, or Matt Twazlogbot can go ahead and do something about it. And usually, when someone enters the chat room, you go ahead and you see the chat room move, but it takes a little while for them to go ahead and pin it down. So what I do is I have a little thing on Notepad. I go ahead and cut and paste, put it in there, and then immediately log off so it stays on there and I haven't been blocked yet. Now, you got to be sort of careful here because, you know, it's a matter of, you know, which one's quicker on the draw. And essentially, Eli James and Dan Johns rule against that by going ahead and initially blocking whoever comes on. I have found out the way to go ahead and get around that is simply to go ahead and what the heck is it? I simply go ahead and I just log on, log off, and I have a whole bunch of these aliases. Now, earlier tonight, somebody was impersonating Frankenweger.
I saw that, yeah.
They saw that. And what happens is I said, well, you want me, Frankenweger, to go ahead? I'll just go ahead and block one Frankenweger over the other. It'll be like on Star Trek to where there was a good William Shatner and a bad William Shatner, and then Turnabout Intruder where, you know, essentially someone went ahead and took over William Shatner's body or what have you. I said, yeah, if you want me to do that, I'll do that. And, one of the smarter ones said is that you see you're using a different character, it's probably using a different character set. You know what I mean? To where they managed to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, it's probably like lowercase. Yes, you're right.
So anyway, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll go ahead and talk about helping you get your own show. Okay, Logan?
Sounds good.
All right. Hail victory, folks. We're going to take a quick break. Okay, I'm recording already.
Yeah, I've got my own page. I just don't know how to schedule because whenever I try to schedule in advance, the calendar only pulls up the year 2002 or 2003. So the only way I can get on is to do a show on demand. Right now, I mean, if I want to do a show at 8 o'clock tomorrow, I have to get on at 7:55 and do a show on demand.
Okay, well, Eli James, when would you want to get on? When would you want to go ahead and get on? Now, I've already said you could go ahead and give me your username and maybe give me your password, and I could probably log in and get on, you know, get on there doing that.
I may have to let you do that because right now, I've got my show set up. It's called Logan Hunter 88's community chat or community call. But then when I go to try to schedule a show, for some reason, the current talk shoot thing is it's like if you try to put a certain date, it only has the year 2002, 2003, and it won't let me type in 2012. So that's the only problem is that
well, usually when you schedule it, it goes ahead and gives the month that you're supposed to, you know, that month that you're supposed to get on here. And since
well,
the date...
I could do the month and the day, like, I could do any month and day that's accurate, but then the year, the only 2 years it has available is 2002-2003. I don't know why it's like that. It won't let me give any other year. So, for some reason, it won't let me schedule now. You know, they had a glitch the first time. I couldn't even create my show page. Now I've got my show page, but I can't get it scheduled. Okay, so, I mean...
Well, you end up having these glitches every time here. Tuesday night is the best night, as far as I can see, for it running real good, because usually you will have some nights to where you have so many people. And Friday night's bad. Saturday night are the worst. Sundays are fairly iffy here. Tuesday night's about the best night because it's the fewest number of shows that are on. But what would you want to do it? Friday against Finkelstein then?
You know what? I'll tell you what. Okay. Keith Salford, what time is he on Tuesday?
He's on at 8:15 Central Time, 9:15 Eastern.
Okay, why don't I do 7:15 to 8:15 right before, or I could do 7 to 8 and give a 15-minute break, but why don't I do 7, a one-hour show right before his on Tuesday, and if I have enough steam, which I probably will, I could do an ass-kicking show on Friday, and I could compete with William Fink and try to...
Well, I could go ahead and do that. What I'd probably do is I go ahead and just troll Finkelstein every so often. I wouldn't mind going ahead and figuring out how to do that here. So Tuesday night starting at 7:00 Central Time.
Yeah, you know, if you want to give Keith's listeners a break, make a 15-minute.
Okay, well this coming Tuesday, I'll be down at the Ramby City Hall chewing on Donna Fullerton and Scott Whitman's ass. You know, wish me luck and no jail time. Although, you know, I'm not really scared. You know, after what's already happened to me, I'm not really scared of any of these bastards. They're far more scared of me than I am of them. By now, you know, I'm not really scared because I already know I'm going to be suing this stupid bitch, Donna Fullerton. I'm going to be suing the city of Granby. I'm going to be suing a bunch of these other characters. And I already know, you know, I already know that essentially, you folks, this is the way it is. I mean, worthless pieces of shit, you know, this is what I want to talk about. You have, you know, you end up having, you know, to be honest with you, Logan, you're far more danger of your local pigs than you are the FBI or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because the FBI, they are so high profile, they don't want to get their hands dirty. And most of them are chicken shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. They don't want. Oh, by the way, I was reading on something here where it happened in California. Somebody went ahead and ambushed 4 or 5 pigs somewhere in the Zogland, and you know what happens is all they did was wound them or something like that. He was on the CBS Nightly News. Somebody went off postal on a bunch of pigs and killed 4 or 5 of them.
Well, let me tell you something, okay? All these police officers, especially if they're white men, mm-hmm. If they're going to serve the Jew and they're going to go against the Constitution and go against Yahweh and go against their own white race,
they need to die.
And I'll tell you what, Yahweh's probably going to use some of these big drug, some of these Mexican drug gangs to murder them, because I'll tell you what, these drug gangs, they don't play around. They've been killing thousands of people on the border down there in California and Arizona and Texas. And I'll tell you what, it's just like Yahweh to use some of these other races to kill off the white trash, you know.
Well, I was listening to Harold Covington's podcast, and, Jet Rank and all these other people were bitching. You know, I invited him to go ahead and call in after you. But, you know, in any case, Harold Covington was yapping about how there's such a thing as good pigs, and he was going ahead and talking his Northwest Trilogy about how he makes a live and let live deal with pigs. And then on the other hand, he goes ahead and says is that a lot of people who's going to join his Northwest Republic are motivated by revenge about all this chicken shit, little horse shit, to where they, you know, people dick with each other. And folks, you know, I mean, there's no way in hell there's no way in hell. I mean, I might go ahead and promise not to go ahead, be nice to pigs, live and let live if I move to the Northwest. But for all practical purposes, essentially, every time there's a revolution, the ones who are the standing army of oppression are the local pigs. Now, you go ahead and you hear, and Harold Covington was talking about to where, guess what? 8 months ago, or you know, a number of months ago, Obongo went ahead and killed a so-called American citizen, although he was a freaking raghead, and he murdered him using a Predator drone in Yemen. Now, what happens is that this raghead was initially used by the Bush administration to say that Islam is a religion of peace and all this other happy horse shit. From what I gather, this raghead got tired of being used as a love toy, you know, to lie to Muslims, you know, on behalf of the Bush administration. So essentially, this raghead cleric got annoyed. And essentially, here he was saying is that Zog lies. Zog's nothing but a liar. And from what I gather, this raghead didn't actually do any bombing. He was just simply saying, I'm tired of being lied to. I'm tired of Muslims being lied to. Here he was in Yemen. And Obongo goes ahead and murders him with a Predator drone without due trial, without due process. Well, what you hear now is that somewhere in North Dakota, some white guy who's pretty well run afoul of the local pigs, now they have the Department of Defense using Predator drones to spy on these white people who have had, you know, I mean, from what I gather, one of the daughters went ahead and pushed this little piggy wig and just traumatized them, so now they're using Predator drones to spy on Uyghurs in North Dakota. Okay?
I've heard about that.
Yeah. Well, it's just a matter of time before that chicken shit local pig goes ahead and, you know, says, oh, please, let's go ahead and do like they do in Iraq or Pakistan. Oh, let me go ahead and just kill them without any due process of law. And essentially, you just had these traitors, you've had these traitors pass a law to where, hey, Logan, if they want, they've had enough of Pastor Martin Lindstedt's, you know, Martin Luther Dzerzhinsky Lindstedt's horseshit. Essentially, they can go ahead and arrest me, you know, and go ahead and send me to Egypt to have my nuts squeezed and a pair of pliers or whatever they want to do. And essentially, these treasonous Congress critters have passed just that law. Now, my solution to that is that if you're a traitorous Congress critter and you pass that law, essentially, you've signed your death warrant. But getting on to it, essentially what we have is we have a war, you know, and generally the pig you need to worry about isn't the FBI pig. It ain't the man in the silk suit. I've had the Secret Service come out, you know, to my office, and he was sent by Brian Rio and Eli James and maybe Mumps Nuts Wire Bill DeClueless, you know, yapping about, how I hated the nigger. And I told them that actually I liked the nigger. The nigger was going to help destroy America. The nigger had my approval. Yes, he was a foreign, no-good nigger, but I actually loved every kinky pubic hair on that nappy nigger's head. And, folks, when the Jews start knocking off the nigger in order to make, you know, because the economy's going south here, and you're looking for James Earl Ray or Lee Harvey, you know, Patsy Oswalt, don't come to my house looking for it. Because I am not going to go ahead and shoot your precious nigger. I'm going to sue your nigger, but I'm not going to shoot your precious nigger. So don't be bothering me over that stupid shit. And I think they went ahead and left and thought that I was a total maniac, you know. But, you know, like I pointed out, I don't get out much. So.
Hey, okay, so you think all the white race traders, so you think Yahweh's going to use all the spick niggers and mongrels to kill them off as soon as the race.
Well, I think when the Great Tribulation occurs, essentially it's going to be a war like Thomas Hobbes said in Leviathan. See, during the English Civil War, you had two main writers come up. One was Thomas Hobbes for the Loyalists or for the Royalists, and he wrote a book in 1851 called Leviathan. And on the other hand, on the Puritan side, there was this man called John Milton. You know what I mean? John Milton was a roundhead. John Milton was a Puritan. John Milton was pretty well the writer for the Puritan Anglican, you know, the Angles who had moved to eastern England, you know, England against the Saxons who, you know, were in the south of England, you know, and who supported Charles the First. And essentially you had, in 1851, you had Leviathan come up, and Thomas Hobbes said is that mankind is going to be ruled by somebody. He ought to be ruled by kings who have an unlimited right to rule. And pretty well he wrote this book called Leviathan by saying is that the normal life of people without government is nasty, short, you know, is nasty, brutal, short, and short, mainly, quite short and brutal. You know, and that's where it comes in is that, you know, life without order is chaotic. It's brutal. And the answer is that is quite correct here, Thomas Hobbes. But essentially, even Charles I went ahead and said just before he chopped his head off, what are people to do when the king doesn't obey the law? Charles I sort of admitted that maybe he had something to do with the fact that he was viewed as a tyrant, a murderer, and a public enemy of mankind, and he got his head chopped off, you know, by Cromwell and the rest here. And, folks, I sort of believe, if anything, I believe in sort of Oliver Cromwell democracy. But folks, this current Zog Babylon needs to be destroyed, and I view this great tribulation of a war of each against all to where the Whiggers are exterminated by the white man, by the niggers, by the beaners, essentially is something that needs to happen, because if this situation continues, there's not going to be any white man, just like there wasn't during Noah's day.
That's what Yahweh said. He said that if he didn't shorten the days and come back, that, he says that there would be no righteous flesh, which is pure white right.
No flesh would be saved. This is Matthew 24:21-22. And pretty well, that is the operating, you know, pretty well scripture of this show.
Hey, I'm going to guarantee you something. Most of these spicks and niggers that are shacking up with all these white women, even if they have kids with them, most of them don't give a shit. And if it comes down to push come to shove and hard time, or hell, even if it's not that hard time, you're always hearing about some nigger spick killing their white girlfriend or wife. You know what I mean?
Well, they do it all the time. They do it all the time.
Yeah, they do it all the time. So you know what? I'm like Russell. Even if they don't get AIDS or one of these diseases, they're liable to get shanked or killed. And you know what? That's what
they deserve.
That's what they deserve for hating their pure white race. They probably hate their mom and daddy, and they probably start fucking outside their race just to piss off their parents. That's what they deserve. Just like Esau. Esau was a pure white man, but he married two Jew wives because he wanted to piss off his parents, okay?
And to be honest with you, that is why, you know, Esau lost his birthright. Esau lost his birthright through that act. And you go ahead and read later in the book of Jasher that pretty well Jacob Israel, decided to go ahead and essentially let his worthless brother have some sort of dominion by going ahead and killing Neo-Nimrod or Tammuz or Horus, by going ahead and killing Nimrod's son. And what happens is that Jacob went ahead and killed Neo-Nimrod's bodyguard so that Esau could go ahead and have some dominion over essentially the non-Israelite, the beast of the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I mean, now that I know even when I didn't know identity, Martin, I never had the desire to date outside of my race. And
I've had nigger chicks who wanted to screw me, They want to go ahead and look at some white man, and no, I mean, I'd go ahead and, you know, pretend that I was a homosexual or something here, you know what I mean? Pretend I had a steady girlfriend or something. I mean, it's sort of like when you're driving a truck. I used to drive a truck, and you go ahead and you park at a Pilot, you know, because essentially they don't, you know, they don't want to give you all Petros here. I prefer to fill up at a Petro, but here you have to fill up at a Pilot. You know, here you are in a southern city, and essentially you will have these nigger lot lizards go ahead, pound on your door at 2 o'clock in the morning. And you don't say, get away from my truck, nigger bitch, because you don't want her to go around to the back and break the seal or puncture your tire or something like that. So you just simply say, I'm not really interested. No, I don't want any commercial company. You're sort of polite to the nigger bitches, but you know, you don't tell them that you don't want to fuck them because they're, you know, because they're niggers, you know, because then they'll get all pissed off at you. You know, I mean, you simply want them to run on and bother somebody else. But, no, I've never had any desire to screw, you know, quote, change my luck with nigger coontang. You know what I mean?
Well, so, to me, though, okay, I know a lot of white guys, you know, they may not fuck a full-blooded gook or nigger, but they think some of these Mexican women are good-looking. To me, even...
Well, they are when they're young, but they're going to be turned into a big, fat gorda, and why do you end up needing to go ahead and create a bunch of little mongrels?
It's not just the white women. Some of the white men, I mean, the white race has lowered its standards so much, and I'm telling you, Martin, the only friends that I have in the white race are the hardcore two-seat identity. My family, I'm telling you, my family doesn't love Yahweh. They don't love two-seat line, and they don't love the truth, and I've spent very little time with them, okay? At work, I try to teach all the white people at work the truth. I almost got fired for it, okay?
Well, you're probably better off, you know, just going there to work here. I mean, usually you're not there to go ahead and look for anything strange or find any, you know, other women or something like that.
I was trying to help people because they were all Judeo-Christians, okay? And then, like I said, you know, if I join an internet dating site, I get a lot of dates, but they're all Christian white girls, and then once I teach them a little bit of the truth, they're gone because they don't want any part of it. All they want is their phony, universal, race-mixing, communist, Judeo-Christian church. That's all they want. They don't want any part
To be honest with you, there's not very many, you know, there's not very many Christian identity women who are born Christian identity, you know what their Christian identity. I mean, heck, even Pastor John Britton, he has a number of daughters, and essentially, you know, he's sort of given up on teaching any of his split tails Christian identity. He pretty well just sends them off to the Mormon, you know, to the Mormon church. And I once told my case manager, she was a little mamsterous, I said, Christian identity is wasted on females. I mean, you know, pretty well, if I had a bunch of daughters, I'd go ahead and train them to be obedient little Mormon girls here. And then later on, once they've gone ahead and had a white husband and a couple of kids, then you go ahead and you teach them, you know, you go ahead and teach females about Christian identity. But it's sort of a waste of time to teach a woman, you know, when she's in, you know, especially when she's in her young, you know, teens or 20s, to be Christian identity, because, it, you know, I mean, a lot of women, they don't like being told that, you know, especially now, you know, I mean, 40 or 50, 100 years ago, my grandmother was, you know, Emma was much smarter than Fred Lindstedt, but essentially back then she was taught that essentially you don't go ahead and flaunt yourself as being the boss over your man because you don't do that shit. And essentially now the girls got to show they're so much smarter than their little dork boyfriends, and you end up having a situation to where essentially I'm just going to go ahead and have my first starter husband and make him pay for the kids, and then I'm going to go ahead, you know, you were talking about Nashville, about how these wigger skanks, they've gone ahead and had their, quote, starter husband.
Their white husband after their kids are grown, and then they go fuck a nigger or spit. That's what they do.
Yeah, and pretty well have daddy pay, have hubby pay, essentially, you know, for, you know, their car insurance. They keep, you know, the housekeeper. They keep the house.
You know, they got all the money. Their nigger or spit boyfriend is does not work at all. He stays at home all the time. That's it.
Yeah. And essentially, that is the way it is. And folks, you don't put up, you know, I mean, essentially someone like that, I don't know, I call them wiggers, you know, white niggers. They're lower than, you know, scum as far as I'm concerned. And folks, I don't have no patience for people like that. You know, I don't even consider them, I don't even consider them people. I consider them to be traitors who pay for their treason. And I don't have no use for such people at all.
This is what it is, though, Martin. Okay, I mean, I talk to all the white people I know, and you know, everywhere I go, I mean, even if I'm on vacation in Florida, up north, or whatever, or wherever, you try to talk to these Christians, and even if they have a little bit of prejudice feelings, I mean, deep down, most people in my family a long time ago, they didn't like race mixing. And, you know, I know, like, I dated this one girl one time, and I had her in identity, but she was the only child, and she was real rich, so she went back to her Judeo-Christian bullshit. But the thing is, though, her parents were really, really, really prejudiced. Okay.
Yeah.
They didn't mind seeing a white girl date a Oriental or a Mexican or anything. They just hated niggers. Okay.
But now, I know a lot of white people, like even my own family, they don't like race mixing my grandmother used to hate race mixing of all kinds, and then her granddaughter got knocked up, or her great-granddaughter got knocked up by a nigger, and he left her with two or three kids, and so now she thinks it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Niggers? She likes having a little pickaninny?
Yeah, okay, but see, now she thinks race mixing is okay. It's okay to marry outside. So see, the thing is, now it's gotten so bad that most white people, even my own family, they will not speak out against interracial marriage and mongrelization.
Well, that's pretty well the case in the South here. My friend Jim Floyd, he's still alive, and folks, I talked to him last weekend for 29 minutes, and he's doing better. But Jim Floyd used to say way back in Alabama and Mississippi, he's from Alabama, you know, around Tolman.
Well,
I used to
get his emails all the time. He used to call himself Fearless Jim Floyd.
Oh yeah, what happens? I had a picture of him when he went ahead. He used to hang around with this guy about 10, 15 years older than he was, who was Christian Identity. He's not Christian Identity, but he's really pissed off at the Baptist and Methodist Church. Because what he said is, he said way back in the 60s, you called them lint heads because they worked at the cotton gin. They used to have all this white cotton lint on their heads, you know. So they called them lint heads. They used to be primitive Baptist or Pentecostal, and essentially they hated niggers. Now go ahead and go, and here it is in the 1990s. And their stupid kid has been talking about how we're all brothers in Christ and all this sort of thing. And now they have a bunch of nigger grandchildren, and they love them little pickaninnies. And when they were young, they were so racist here because they were raised, you know, I mean, niggers are evil, niggers are bad, niggers are no good. You know, their daddy, you know.
Okay, and let me tell you the biggest culprit of that. The reason is Judeo-Christianity says that we're all equal, we're all God's children, and we're all Gentiles, we're all the same.
Yellow, black, brown, or white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little masses of the world. Right?
Listen, if it wasn't for the damn Christian churches, those white people would never put up with that shit.
Well, yeah. Yeah. You know, a church house is worse than a freaking whorehouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I consider all the white people that go to churches, if they're not through line identity, and if they promote all the money to Israel and all the wings of eagles and all the money to all these missionaries to Africa and China, I call them niggers too. Even if they don't want to act like a nigger, I mean, I consider them to be race traitors.
Well, generally, I don't have any problem. I mean, usually a bunch of Herbert's Bunch here, something like that. They tolerate blacks here, but essentially they don't really, you know, I mean, you know, Herbert Armstrong had to hide the fact that his wife, Ramona, you know, his Jew treasurer, Stanley Rader's secretary, was a, quote, Native American, because most of the people in the Worldwide Church of God viewed that as race mixing. You know what I mean? So normal white people sort of know that it's not right to go ahead and have your grandchildren look like pieces of shit. You know what I mean? It's not right. You know, I remember my grandmother, who was a Mormon, and her best friend was this Sioux lady, you know, who was an Apple Indian. Essentially, she kept, you know, she was unlike most Indians. She lived in town, and she pretty well kept a clean house here. You know, most Indians in South Dakota don't do that. So she was real good friends with old Sue, you know, with this woman named Sue. Well, what happens is that my first cousin, Junie, went ahead and married a Cheyenne Indian in, you know, Montana. And,
oh, my, Jim Floyd?
Yeah, Jim. No. This is my own damn family here. What happened was my first cousin Junie married a damn Cheyenne Indian, and my grandmother Emma had a fit about this. She was crying and crying and crying for 3 days. Junie married a damn Indian. Junie married a damn. You know, see, she didn't hate Indians because as a Mormon, she believed they were Lamanites. But essentially, she didn't like her, you know, June was a white girl, you know, but she was crying, you know, my grandmother liked to have a fit here. She was crying for 3 days. Junie married a damn Indian. Junie married a damn Indian. I mean, she just had a fit about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And pretty well, my grandpa Fred, you know, he wouldn't even talk to her. You know what I mean? He wouldn't even talk to her. I mean, in a case.
Okay, so Jimmy got excommunicated from the family.
Junie? Well, essentially, she lived in Montana, and essentially she was, you know, the daughter of my dad's sister Arlene, and my dad didn't get along very good together. And okay. Anyway. So essentially what happens is that once she went ahead and married the damned Indian, you know, pretty well, you know, my dad didn't have much to do with her before. So, you know, that was just another reason to have even less to do with her. You know what I mean? They weren't close before here. But essentially, you know, I mean, you know, my grandmother liked, June was her second. I was her favorite grandchild, and June was one of her favorites, but not as favorite as I was. And she just had a fit, you know, that Junie married a damned Indian. Junie married a damned Indian, and what happens then? The kid, you know, when my grandmother died, they had, you know, the kid, you know, they had a kid, an Indian kid who was what, 4 or 5, and essentially got sodomized by some other damned Indian on the freaking reservation. See, in eastern Montana, you have a bunch of these Cheyenne Indians. And the Sioux and Cheyenne used to be big friends. In South Dakota, you have Sioux Indians. By the time you get to Montana, you have Cheyenne Indians.
They're all Mongols, though, and they all have Asiatic blood.
They're American Mongoloids. Essentially, what happens is that South Dakota, some of us in South Dakota. I mean, South Dakotans feel about Indians the way Mississippians feel about niggers. No white Mississippian really likes niggers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll see them pretending, you know, they like them so little that sometimes, you know, some of the older ones would pretend that niggers don't exist. They don't even see niggers. They see niggers, but they're keeping an eye on the niggers. But essentially, if the nigger ain't doing anything bad here, you know, they'll just pretend the nigger don't exist. Because as far as they're concerned, you know, they don't even want to see niggers. Well, a white South Dakotan feels the same way about Indians. When we first moved down here, you know, you had all these people, I'm part Cherokee, I'm part Choctaw, I'm part Chickasaw, I'm part Miami, I'm part this, I'm part that. And my brother, he used to go ahead and say, Oh, okay. So you're part Indian. Well, let me tell you. Are you hacksaw? Are you one of these Indians that cut through anything in order to steal it? Are you a hacksaw? Or are you a shit ass from the No Wipe'em tribe? And you know, so South Dakotans don't like, you know, hell, even my nigger living, you know, even my nigger loving second cousins here, you know, Pastor John Britton told me about one of them, you know, named John Samuelson, he was in the Army with, and I said, shit, that guy's probably a third or fourth or fifth cousin here. And essentially, you know, he didn't like beaners, he didn't like Indians, but he loved niggers. Well, that's the way with my mom's first cousins, you know, a bunch of old, you know, whigger coots here. They go ahead, well, you're from Missouri, you're mean to niggers. I pointed out, first of all, we don't have that many niggers in my portion, you know, of Missouri. Second of all, the reason you idiots like niggers so damn much is that there's none of them up in South Dakota. I mean, if you had to live with niggers, you'd get over that real quick, you idiots. And, you know, I don't know what the deal is, you know, I don't know.
They probably watch TV and listen to.
Yeah, the only nigger they ever seen on TV, you know, the only nigger they ever seen, first time I ever seen a nigger was in 2001 in South, you know, first nigger I ever seen in South Dakota was in 2001. It was a nigger on his way to Portland, Oregon, and essentially what happens, he was driving across 90 and he decided to go ahead and see Pier, the state capital. So he was a Chicago nigger on his way to Portland. He decided to go up to, and drive, 40 miles out of the way here to go to the state capital Pier, you know, off of I-90.
Yeah.
So anyway, no. Well, somebody, I'm looking at the chat.
Okay, I'm just saying that a lot of white people, they watch all the blacks on TV and the music. See, the thing is, though, the Jews, all the Jews in Hollywood and all the movies and TV, they always show the white man as the bad guy. It's like the
you see that stupid shit. I mean, you know,
they always show. Okay, they always show the beautiful white woman getting she's always bedding down with a Jew or a black or a Mexican, and the white guy is always the bad guy.
Well, yeah, it's sort of like. There was this Brinks home security commercial where you have a white, you know, you have a white burglar. He's trying to go ahead and bust in on this prosperous nigger woman and a little nigglet. You know, Brinks home security. Well, yeah. How many white burglars are trying to go ahead and break into rich nigger houses? I mean, how often do you see that sort of shit? You know what I mean?
I just saw on YouTube last night or whatever, there was a white woman in Oklahoma, and she had a shotgun, and these two guys were trying to break in. She killed one of them. Now, they didn't show what the two culprits looked like. Now, one of them that turned himself in, one of the guys breaking in was a white-looking guy, but he could have been a mongrel, and the other guy could have been a Mexican or black. But anyway, they showed a picture of her dead husband, okay, because she was protecting her baby. It was a white woman in Oklahoma. Her husband had a big old hooked nose. So she was protecting a Jew devil baby, you know what I'm saying? And under Yahweh's law, she never should have married a Jew. And if anything, she should help kill that damn baby instead of protecting it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's not going to happen.
I'm going to tell you something, Martin. I'm going to tell you something. The white race is finished. I mean, they have no pride in Yahweh and being the holy race and the holy seed. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I don't have any children, and I'm so thankful to Yahweh that I didn't make any mongrel Jew devil kids like August Christ or some of these other people. Because you know what? If I had... let's say I hadn't got that DNA test and I was still married to that bitch and I didn't know she was a Jew. I've got it in me that I hate evil so much. If I was to accidentally have serpent seed kids, I would have no problem killing them. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all.
Well, I went ahead and came up with this. Idea for a novel about Dichter von Frankenwigger. And old Frankenwigger, he heard about that. He thought it was hilarious. You know, that's why he got that nickname. To where old Frankenwinger, he goes ahead and he's dating this Esther Kikas who works at a fertility mill, and she goes ahead and sucks his dick through a silk handkerchief like Jewesses are supposed to be real good at. And then he finds out that he's descended from the line of Phineas, and his daddy tells him that he has to go ahead and take care of him because he's inadvertently spawned at a fertility clinic. He's gone ahead and, you know, inadvertently spawned 666-year-old Kikling. And so the rest of the, you know, movie, he's going ahead, just like old Frankenstein, you know, Frankenstein's monster here, he's going ahead and having to, you know, cack the Kikas and the 666-year-old Kikling he'd inadvertently spawned here through the blowjob, you know, through the handkerchief. I thought it was hilarious, you know, little thing here. So the thing about it is, folks, is that contrary to all the whining and all the pissing and moaning about the death of the white race, and I disagree with Harold Covington on that, I believe that the white race will, you know, will survive, like it says in Matthew, 24, verse 21 through 22, that there will be a great tribulation. And essentially, the great tribulation will be pretty well the beginning of the end. And what happens is that essentially Yahweh will protect his servant nation just like he did during the days of Noah. And how he did it during the days of Noah is that he went ahead and drowned out the sinning Quakers and race mixers of Noah's day, of the very first Zog Babylon, the first. And today we live in Zog Babylon, the third, and I believe the final. And essentially, instead of being ended by water, it will be destroyed by the fires of civil war. Would you somewhat agree with that, or see where I'm getting at, Logan?
I will definitely agree with that. The hell with this World War III, the Middle East bullshit. Let the Jews all burn in Israel. But we got enough Jews in America and the rest of the world. But there's going to have to be a civil war, Martin, because even if the other races weren't a problem, and they are, the white race is not going to get out of this without facing Satan and his kids. And, I mean, like I said, I've said this many times, Nazi Germany, the Jews had gone into Germany, and that's one thing Carolyn Jaeger puts out some truth on. She's sitting on the fence. She's going to the churches and all this other
bullshit. Well, she knows full well. You know, I always had my doubts as to where Carolyn Jaeger knew same story. But when I introduced myself as Pastor, you know, Martin Lindstedt, she called me Mr. Lindstedt. I knew full well that she knew all about Fink, and it didn't really matter. Just like Clifton M. Heiser, I believe, knew all about William Fink, knew all about Brian Real. Essentially, everything that Clifton M. Heiser has said has been a knowing lie on the part of Clifton M. Heiser's part. So, folks, I mean, it's gotten to where I can't even bear to read anything by Emma Heiser anymore because I know that there's a lie somewhere, and I don't want to go ahead and eat shit. I literally do not want to eat lying Jew or Mamzer shit. I don't want to go ahead and even sniff it. I don't want to even have anything to do with it at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, the thing about it is that I do like trolling. And, you know, I do like trolling the crap out of Finkelschini and Eli James and Dan Johns, and I have done that. A couple times what I did last night is I went ahead and got all three laptops working, and what happens is that on two of the laptops, I had two browsers working. Eventually, I had a whole bunch of names, but I had a problem with TalkShoe. I had a problem with internet connection. But I managed to go ahead and get four guests on and unblocked. And what happens is that I blew through three of them by every so often going ahead and pointing out that that both Dan John's kid, Legal Mans of 2012 John, and Commander McFag, a.k.a. Steve Schultz, had AIDS, you know, had Jew ask AIDS, that they were Jews who had a Jew genetic disorder. Essentially, what all crows is when a Jew's asshole gets tired of being connected to a Jew asshole. You know what I mean? A Jew, you know, literally a Jew.
So Crohn's disease. So basically, only Jews can get Crohn's disease.
Well, what happens if you're white and you have Crohn's? That means you have a kike in your woodpile somewhere.
Yeah. Okay.
Alex Linder has Crohn's. What happens is that little legal man for 2012.
Alex Linder. Alex Linder has Crohn's.
Oh yeah, he has Crohn's.
Well, you know, when I first saw him, I thought, well, he looks like he's got a really dark hair, dark eyes, or something.
Well, no, actually, I met Alex Linder. For all the people who talk about Alex Linder, name of the Jew. What happens is this little dark Swede. When I met Alex Linder, I met Pastor Richard Butler in May 2004 in Topeka, and I have a DVD on that here.
Wait a minute, Alex Linder used to be real good buddies with Al Turner, because they used to have all those.
Yes, and he's still buddies with Trader Glenn Miller. Trader Glenn Miller lives 40 miles east of me in Aurora. Okay.
Okay.
And essentially what happens is that Alex Linder is, I believe, a little Jew boy. But essentially Alex Linder is a total coward. He's a liar. Essentially a third of VNNF is Jews. I mean, John the Nutjob was right when he pointed out that every time there's, you know, Yom Kippur or Passover, the posters, the VNNF drops off by a third because a third of the characters are Jews. You know, this...
Really?
Yeah. This Belgian Jew here that I ran off of StumbleIn, you know, ran it back off, to, you know, Four or Five Seeds. It was run by three, you know, Belgian Sephardic Jews. And what happens, he's known as Leishrack over on VNNF here. You have a bunch of Jews, and they are Jews, okay? And Linder, I believe, is a Jew himself here because he has Crohn's. And what happens, I did see, you know, Linder, he's 6'1", and he looks like an Aryan. But what you do is that the more you go and talk to Linder, Linder's just a complete coward. What happens is me, Linder, and this little head of this European, you know, film crew, he was a little dark Swiss here. Now, these Germans, for some reason, you end up having, just like Bonnier, you end up having one or two real dark ones, you know what I mean? Real dark ones here. And, you know, they might have some Jew in them, or they might be ascended from a key, a.k.a. the sons of Cain. But, you know, very much what happens is that Linder went ahead and, you know, asked this guy if he was a Jew, and the guy, you know, he was from the German part of Switzerland. He said, yeah. And old Linder was scared shitless. Linder acts like this little guy, two-thirds the size, is going to go ahead and get up and beat his ass. Now, me and Ben Vineyard were sort of looking at it. I was stationed in Germany, so I knew that this German, you know, speaking Switzerland guy was just being polite by saying, yeah, yeah. See, the Germans, you know, instead of like Americans, they're saying, or something like that. What they do is they'll say, yeah, yeah, which means yes, yes. You know, that's their way of being polite. And what happens, old Linder?
Was Linder really admitting to being a Jew?
No, he was just being polite here. So what happens is that, you know, and it wasn't me. I was enjoying. Old Linder was scared shitless here. You know, he was scared shitless here. So look at me and Ben Vineyard and maybe save him from the Jew. See, I'm 6'2". You know, and I'm pretty big. And I'm very. You know, I got massive shoulders. You know, but in any case, I have a bad leg, but I have massive shoulders. And essentially, I was enjoying it because I was stationed in Germany for 19 months, so I knew exactly what was going on. Now, I think Vineyard was too. So what Vineyard did was, he was Billy Roper's right-hand man at the time. He was from West Virginia. He was a white-haired, blue-eyed guy here. You know, I think he had more English in him than anything. But anyway, he went ahead and said, you're not really a Jew, are you? And the little dark Swiss said, kind of Jew, which meant not a Jew, not a Jew. Kind of means not quite, it doesn't mean little Jew, it means kind of, it means not a Jew, not a Jew. So essentially, old Linder was near scared, but old Linder was scared shitless that this little guy, two-thirds the size, was going to beat his ass here. And every time everybody talks about Linder name of the Jew, you know, I think I tell the story about when Linder named the Jew, he was scared the Jew was going to whip his ass. You know, Linda's a total cowardly pussy. You know what I mean? So's Trader Glenn Miller and so's Wiggins Will. So anyway, see, you know, see, that's why my show is the way it is, because I've been around to pretty well know just about everybody or know of everybody in our wonderful bowel movement. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, anyway.
I used to thank our news network a lot when I was on the Hal Turner Radio Network, when I was on the radio.
Yeah.
The thing was is that I never did see a picture until he got arrested. He was at a Knoxville. It was a rally in Knoxville, Tennessee, and him and Hal Turner. Hal Turner didn't get arrested, but
Linder did. Linder got arrested on purpose to go ahead and give himself some, you know, street cred. Essentially, Linder's a total pussy. You know what I mean? And what happened, I've had people say that they thought Linder was a Jew. Well, what happens is that once I went ahead and found out that Legal Man's for 2012, had Crohn's, and that Commandor Kafag, a.k.a. Steve, what the hell's name, Steve Schultz, had Crohn's too. And essentially, Don Brown's wife over, this little doofus here over on Finkelschini's, his wife has Crohn's. Essentially, what it is, it's a Jew genetic disease. And if you end up having Crohn's, it means that even if you're blonde, blue-eyed, you know, and Linder is, he got sort of light brown hair, you know, and he got blue or gray eyes, but, you know, he looks like an Aryan. But he has the mannerisms of a scared little Guido or something like that here. I mean, Linder don't act white. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people think Linder's a Jew. And I think Linder's a Jew, too. So I've changed it from gut-sick Guido weasel with Jew ass cancer to gut-sick Kaiken weasel with Jew ass gates here. So Linder, you know, and Linder don't like me one bit. I've fought with Trader Glenn Miller, quite a bit. And, folks, it's not personal with Trader Glenn Miller. I mean, it's just that essentially, you know, pretty well, you know, I went ahead and was asked and, you know, did ask, you know, Lewis Bean pretty well got me to pretend to be Trader Glenn Miller's friend so I could go ahead and shit on, because, you know, there's a lot of people who hate Trader Glenn Miller. And the minute that Linder went ahead and sucked up to Trader Glenn Miller, except money for Trader Glenn Miller, essentially, you know, Linder will never be trusted by any of the old resistance, because he has something to do with Trader Glenn Miller. You know, and that's why I explained to Lewis Beam, I explained to Kat DeLay, and she didn't want to go ahead and agree with it, but I guess her husband told her to, you know, let Linstead, you know, pretend to be, you know, Trader Glenn Miller's friend, and I pretend to be his friend for 4 years. But, you know, pretty well I got caught. I think either Wiggerswill or Ron Doggett went ahead and knocked me out, because I said, no, Trader Glenn Miller's a cowardly piece of shit. I'm just going ahead and using Trader Glenn Miller. And essentially, he called me up on May 12th, 2004. He was mad as hell because essentially he thought I'd betrayed him. Well, I guess you could say I betrayed him, because every single time he'd go ahead and use me as a reference to local journalists, and I'd tell him what Trader Glenn Miller did. Trader Glenn Miller is a cowardly piece of shit. You know what I mean? You go ahead and read his, he didn't write that book. Some Jew probably from the FBI wrote that book, but he will admit that he ran out. He went ahead and cowardly chicken shitted out on all these Klansmen at Greensboro. I think he was a traitor from day one. I think he was a traitor when he was in the Army. He was spying on Klan Peckerwoods is what he was doing. So, folks, you know, I don't have use for traitors. I don't have use for liars. I don't have anything, you know, and that's why I go ahead and do this show. Get to tell about these liars and traitors and skunks of the bowel movement, okay?
I got you.
Okay. Anyway, Logan, I think I've talked to you for enough here. What happens is that I'll see what we can do tomorrow, and maybe we can go ahead and have an 8 o'clock show, the first show, head-to-head with Finkelschini, okay?
Okay, listen, I got to call you tomorrow morning. And maybe
call me maybe at 10 o'clock, you know, tomorrow morning or something here.
Yeah.
Don't call me early. Huh?
Yeah, about 10 or 10:30.
All right.
Sounds good.
Okay. All righty. Do you know the number of your show?
No, but I've got it's Logan Hunter 88's community call. If you type that in, Logan Hunter 88's community call, then it pulls up my. Hold on, I've got my number. I think I had it pulled up while ago, but yeah, it's because I was gonna. I can do it on demand, but I can't do the scheduling completely.
Okay, well we'll see. We'll see what.
Hold on, it's caller ID 116732.
116732.
Yeah, 116732.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, and I'm going to say goodnight here, and I'm going to go ahead and take a little bit of break. So, folks, hail victory, okay?
Yeah, praise Yahweh.
All right, praise Yahweh. Anyway, the main phone is, you know, the house phone that you heard is beep, beep, beeping, so the battery's near dead on it. So I'll go ahead and shut this off. And, folks, let me see. I got 51 minutes. Which is about, you know, right here. Folks, I don't mind recording this thing on TalkStew, but the problem of it is that I don't like, you know, how it sounds. An MP3 player show has 3 times the dynamic range. I'm going to go back and hopefully someday go ahead and use the MP3 player and, you know, use the rest of it on this, you know, it doesn't really cost me anything to go ahead and record it. So, folks, we're going to go ahead and take maybe at least a 10-minute break. I'm going to go ahead and say Hail Victory, and we'll be back in about 10 to 15 minutes. Hail Victory. Okay. Folks, let me go ahead and say the chat. It looks like Rick Graver has behaved himself. And, folks, pretty well, you know, last time you spammed, you know, Rick Graver, don't spam this time, okay? And I'm hoping that maybe APOC will go ahead and call in. And, folks, I've given my home phone number here, but I'm going to have to go ahead and change that. I'm going to go ahead and save the chat. And let's see. I was hoping the old Jet, you know, Jet Rank or the rest of them would call. I see them going ahead and getting on Skype. Let's see. What's your home phone number? What happened to court? Nothing's happened to court. I haven't been to court. Tuesday, I'm going to go ahead and go in front of, you know, the city council. I'm going to chew on their ass. And then Wednesday, I'm going to go ahead and talk to the local municipal court to pretty well get them to see that, you know, look, you know, don't let Donna, don't let the local pigs, go ahead and do something stupid. You know what I mean? So, essentially, I have not been at court, okay? Not yet. Okay, I think I've answered that, CA man, okay? So, let me go ahead and save the chat as best I can. Copy. Go ahead and save now. The last save, 50 minutes ago. Google has a brand new look, and I hate it here. You know what I mean? Okay. Well, Time Lord, why don't you go ahead and tell me who 61985 is here, okay? Anyway, folks, I've not been to court. All right? Folks, let me go ahead and get up and get a different, you know, home phone. And, folks, let me see. Let me give you my home phone number. Okay? 417-472-6901. That's the landline number. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and have about maybe a 5-minute silence. And then, folks, if you want to go ahead and call in using, because it's easier for you, William B., because it's free for you, by all means, go ahead and call in to the talk show thing, you know, using Skype or using whatever, and call in to the talk, you know. I'm too worried about it because Brian Rio knows the freaking number, okay? 417 is the area code. 472 is Grandy. And the last four, why, hey. You know what I mean? I used to remember it by saying 6901. You know, there used to be a shirt saying, wine me, dine me, 6090. Of course, that's local anglo-mestizo talk, I guess, here. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a five-minute break, so that if anybody wants to call in to talk to you, you know, William B. or, you know, APOC or whatever, that way if there's a five-minute break, I can go ahead and find it when I go ahead and download it onto the WavePad. So there will be a five-minute break, okay? I'm going to go ahead and, change house phones because you heard the battery going beep, beep, beep. And we'll be back in 5 minutes. Okay? Hail victory. Yeah, William B., you can call in. You can call in. In 5 minutes.
Still awake, Moon Pupsa?
Yeah,
it's a kiss me one. Oh, Pooparoo. Poopy dog. Huh? I've already had the front door. Okay, thank you. Going in and out, that's your poopy dog. Hmm? There's a little monkey. out like, little pig, grunt, you little pig, grunt, you little pig. Dog.
Master?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Well, hold on. Let's go ahead and finish here, and then I'll go ahead and record here in a second.
Okay.
Where you be, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sort of doing something that used to annoy Victor Switzer a good deal. Okay, well, we're back, folks, on the Movement Turd. Hopefully I'll go ahead and when I download the thing here, I'm not recording on MP3 right now because, well, thanks to TalkShoe, since this thing is being recorded right now, I can go ahead and talk to William B., you know, pretty well live. And what I'll do is I'll go back using the MP3 and I'll boost it by about 200 or 300%. And we'll get William B. Right on, you know, pretty well on it, and he'll be able, you know. See, previously, William, I asked for you to go ahead and call my house phone, and when you went ahead and called the cell phone using the MP3 player, I had to work in order to go ahead and boot for about 4 or 5 hours to boost a half-hour conversation. I had to go back laboriously.
I'm sorry. I'm stupid.
Well, you ain't stupid. I mean, you didn't know. I mean, shoot. If you want to talk about getting people to understand technicalities, I mean, old Keith Southworth. He's far more technologically unsophisticated. I had to pretty well talk to him rather patiently to get him to run his own show.
Yeah.
Anyway, you've been finding out about
Bitzer
quite a bit.
I know. Bitzer is an evil manzer.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's mixed race. He was pretending to be something else.
This guy is playing all kinds of games. I mean, this guy is a phony and a fraud, and people can't see it. They're obviously not paying attention.
Well, Keith... You know, Keith is pretty well, he's willing to go ahead and let me take the lead on this sort of thing. And I've told him, you know, he said is that, well, if they kick his Bible study show off the air, you know, off TalkShoe, that he'll just go ahead and we'll set up another one. And this time it'll just be by invitation to the devout only. Folks, I mean, Keith's program, essentially, I don't even think we ever mentioned this or by name. But you had Obagender Bender, you had, you know, all these other little mancers, Lenny O.C. Barcelos, he showed up with, he was with Sci-Fi, and then he migrated to Jeremy Visser when Sci-Fi sort of imploded. And you have all these evil mancers over on Visser's, I call Pisser's Pussy Parlor. The thing about Visser's thing here is that it has a virus. It says, you know, blunt force attack or something like that, number 11 or number 9. And every time I go over.
What it is they're using an Israeli Stuxnet virus. It's basically a Stuxnet virus, you know, basically
a derivative
of a Stuxnet.
Mm-hmm.
You can Google Stuxnet. Stuxnet.
Stealthnet.
That's what they're using.
That's what he's using. And Visser's webpage, even Finkelschini was finding this out in September of 2010 when it disappeared, is that Walla.com is an Israeli or it's a Jew.
It's a total Jew outfit.
just a Jew outfit here. So essentially what happens is Visser is just simply a cop manager. He showed up with the Rick Spring faction, and essentially that's where he comes from, as opposed to the August Christ faction. Now, folks, August Christ is legitimate. He's a legitimate, stupid, dumbass Whigger who essentially was used for a little bit to pretend to be Aryan Nations even when Butler was alive.
But I mean, Visser is basically an Israeli. I mean, you might as well just bank on it.
Well, I don't know if he's an Israeli. You know, I mean, they know that he's a Red
Wizard. He is.
They know he's a Mamzer. They know he's a Mamzer. He's just somebody who's used by the Jews. I don't think he's actually a Jew himself.
No, I think he's intermarried with them, actually.
Why, you think old Bridget Visser is a Jew?
It's getting pretty ugly from what I can see.
Well, I view it different. I view that Visser is pretty well finished. You know, he's pretty well finished because I was talking to Pastor John Britton about him. You know, during the last couple month or so, they made up a sister called Liz Linstead, who has a nigger baby named Tyrone. They went ahead and Brooks Georgia.
Yeah, and the whole Jasmine Jacko thing. I mean, come on, really. Jasmine Jacko? I mean, seriously.
I do believe Visser has.
Come on, man.
Well, you don't believe that Visser has a red nigger brother who has a nigger stepchild, huh?
Of course I do. I think the guy's an idiot. I think he's a liar and a fraud.
Well, he is a liar and he is a fraud. He's a mamzer. And essentially
you're right.
You know, his stupid shit is coming to an end because essentially he, you know, he might blame me and he might blame Pastor John Britton for his difficulties.
Yeah, this guy is so full of shit, it's pathetic.
Well,
I don't even want to go there.
Well, even, you know, I wasn't the one who made him admit to the judge that he wasn't a white supremacist because, well, look at my brother, my full-blooded brother. Why, he married even darker Beaner from California, and she has
a nigger child.
I didn't make Visser claim that he wasn't Aryan Nations, that he wasn't white. Hell, he wasn't even a white man. I didn't make Visser. I gave Visser a chance to back out last December and said, hey, Visser, what is he, half-brother? Oh, no, he's my, you know, Sean Visser, your half-brother? No, he's my full-brother.
That's exactly right.
He's dark.
Exactly
but,
right.
You know, But look at him. And
exactly.
What happens is that, you know, he has this daughter. He has this one daughter, you know, named Serena, and she looks like a young Beaneress.
She's a Beaner.
That, you know, her
Come on, man. She's a Beaner. And
yeah, she's
the
a
guy's
Beaner.
Got niggers intermarried in his bloodline. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, well,
Come
that,
on,
that,
man.
That nigger. You know, what happens is that his brother, Sean Visser, he doesn't get into too much of this Christian identity. He just likes going to, you know, his main thing is going down to Disney World all the time.
What a joke.
You know, and here's Visser. Here's Visser. I mean, essentially, he's pretending to be, you know, white. He's pretending to be an Aryan. He's not. You know what I mean?
It's a joke.
I was talking to Pastor John Britton the other day. And he says, well, you did find out about Visser before I did. And I says, well, I got the benefit that you did. I was locked up for 3.5 years with criminals. And there's this Kentucky Chomo Melungeon, like I call him. I know dang well the character is a criminal. Chances are he's just a little minor Chomo who gets a Chomo check. Because what happens is that a couple of years ago, the United States Supreme Court ruled that you can indefinitely hold somebody after their sentence if you say they're going to be a dangerous society. Unconstitutional as hell, but they ruled that. Well, now you have a number of states, and Missouri is one of them. That's pretty well what has spelt the end to the Fulton State Nut House, at least on the Gulman section, because essentially, because of the recession, they couldn't afford to build a brand new $77 million hospital for child molesters and sex perverts, you know, who are past their sentence.
So what they did is they took half of Goldman and they, you know, they turned it into essentially a civil commitment for Chomo Award. And you can't go ahead and treat them like prisoners, so they're really expensive to go ahead and, quote, jail after they get turned loose. And Minnesota and California, why, they're even worse shape than Missouri is. And
yeah, they are.
This character over on the Monkey Barrel, you know, who calls himself Shady Boob, I ran him off a stumble in. You know, he's scared crapless here because I knew his IP number and it came from Kentucky. And essentially he ran off, and that, then he showed up on the beer barrel or the Monkey Barrel, and he's a pisser possum. And essentially, you know, he went ahead and said that he would lick some Mamsers' asshole, bleached or unbleached. So I haven't let him forget that. But essentially, over on the beer barrel, or as I call it, the Monkey Barrel, you end up having a bunch of these Mamsers who like to pretend to be white men, and now it is where white men like me are made into stick niggers, and the Mamsers and the Jews, why, they're the good white men. And so that's why I end up calling it the Monkey Barrel now. And about the only one.
It's what they do. It's what they do.
I think you said you didn't want to go to. You know, the beer barrel or the Monkey Barrel because
no,
of the
I don't even post on the beer barrel.
Huh?
I don't even bother to post on the beer barrel.
Well, John
not at all.
Posted since March 3rd, and you know, shoot, old Puto and Engel did. You know, not so much June.
They're a bunch of idiots, man. I don't even bother to post there.
Well, they become quite a bit of Mamser idiots here. But anyway. So, you know, you found out that old Visser and Bridget the Idiot's maiden name was Halpern. I thought you used to think it was Ramsey.
Well, what I did was I looked up her Facebook, and on her Facebook she had all these links to that Halpern name.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I did was I did a research, and I looked towards her. I did a Google search on Visser Halpern, and I found her link
mm-hmm.
to that maiden name. In
okay.
you know South Bend, Washington, they met in South Los Angeles, but that is where she's from.
Okay, and well, Visser was what happens. I'm not sure about Visser's daddy. I think he's some sort of Anglo mestizo, and I think his mother is a Cherokee, mainly Indian or something like that. Here,
Visser is probably. Well, I mean, you know, his whole family is intermixed with niggers and, you know, Mexicans. So, I mean, who knows?
Well, Visser's sort of a high yellow here. His kid's got sort of white hair, but, you know, I mean, he claims that they're blue-eyed, but you go ahead and look, and they don't have blue eyes. They have dark eyes. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So Visser went ahead and married the sort of, you know, I've gone ahead and look at old Bridget Visser. She got sort of darkish brown eyes, too, here. So I think she's some sort of, you know, darkish hybrid nigger or something like that. She's sort of high yellow. But
I mean,
anyway,
even Visser has a bit of the whitest of the white of his family. Most of his family is down-bred Mexicans and niggers, really.
Yeah, they're pretty, you know, Visser's sort of what I call high yeller. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But you go ahead and look at them. I mean, I got this picture. I call it the Island of Dr. Pissarro, where you end up having a whole bunch of these Mamsers saying, "Are we not men? Are we not you men?"
No. Yeah. The Island of Pissarro is actually perfectly fitting for Visser.
You know. So anyway, he has over on his forum. He has a bunch of these characters. One of them was Lenny C. Barcelos. He used to be with Sci-Fi Faber. And essentially, you know, see, I didn't know this at the time. This was in 2009. And what happens is that in 2000, you know, I got out of the Nut House in November. Here's Billy Wood, a.k.a. Brian Wright. Call me a child molester, call me a thief, call me this, call me that. And essentially, what he did is that in 2007, he shows up, and in 2005, he shows up, and he gets, you know, he'd gone ahead and seen supposedly Morris Gollett in 2004, and it was at this thing to where Mark Downey and pretty well everybody was invited. See, there were a lot of people when Butler went ahead and took over Wesley Swiss Church, there were a lot of people who didn't like that. And pretty well what Butler decided to do was to bring in, to go ahead and safeguard the revolution, to go ahead and bring about the revolution. I can't fight this revolution with a bunch of family men from Wesley Swiss Church. So he decided he was going to go ahead and bring in all this biker vermin, all these criminals, all these other characters. And pretty well, Pastor John Britton's father, James, who was Wesley Swiss prison minister, he knew what most of these people were like. He knew that most of these people were in prison. A lot of time, it's because they're criminals. And he wasn't too crazy about that. Newman Britton, was far more affable with Butler here, and that's why he was made Butler's first successor. James Britton never did like all the criminal element of bikers and criminals and the rest of them who Butler was bringing in.
Well, right. I mean, you know, I got pissed off today, and I thought about what they had done to you, and they did the Keith Southworth show. I thought that was bullshit, and so I tried to fight back against it. You know, it was bullshit.
Well, Keith isn't worried about it.
I know, but it was wrong.
Well, it is wrong. I mean, essentially, what Visser has done. Visser may think he's real clever. Obagenderbender, if he's on, isn't on anymore. They're pretty well boycotting the show now. But the minute that Keith got on, they were talking about boycott Keith Southworth's show.
I mean, and why? That was weak. That was really. I thought that was really weak of them to do that.
Well,
that's
evil. I mean, what they've done.
It was wrong.
Well, it is wrong. I mean, Keith. I don't think we even mentioned Visser at all. We mentioned Finkelschini.
I agree with you. 100%.
Old Keith thinks that Eli James is a Portuguese Jew. He's not so sure about Fink, but he knows that both Fink and Eli James are what he calls preterists. You know what I mean? And universalists.
I mean, but all that aside, their attack was something that Jews would do. You know?
Well, exactly what I
really.
Mean. There's really no difference between what Brian Rio and Eli James did to me and what Jeremy Visser and Obagenderbender are doing to Keith Southworth.
Exactly.
Keith has never done a single thing to Jeremy Visser, and here he
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Essentially
correct.
Telling a total lie to go, and this idiot at TalksJew is essentially going ahead believing Visser. I didn't know. What the hell?
I agree. I agree with you 100%.
You're talking about him cussing? Why, a couple Nimbuster retards came on there. They bitched about, talk about something else here. I mean,
Nimbusters are idiots, but anyway.
Well,
I mean,
they're just a bunch of mams are idiots and pars.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
but,
transsexuals
you know.
And, trannies and idiots. I mean, essentially, most of their time is. I'm balls deep in tranny mangina. So what happens? They go to Keith Southworth's show, and they hear an argument as to whether preexistence exists or whether Christ is, God, the God family, is a duality or whether it's a trinity or whether it's a unity. Unity, and essentially they cannot relate to it. They're just like these flies. Would get on these cattle my dad would spray with DDT, and the fly gets on the cow, tastes the DDT in his feet, and immediately flies off. Mm-hmm. And then the fly comes back and forgets that it didn't like what it tasted on the cow. It gets back on the cow, tastes the DDT, and then flies back off. I mean, it probably kills the fly for doing that, but essentially it's sort of like piping in Mozart, to a mall. I mean, some of these mall owners have learned that they can't get rid of the niggers. So what they do is they play Mozart, and the niggers don't like listening to the Mozart. You know what I mean? I mean, Keith Southworth's show is sort of like playing Mozart to niggers. I mean, niggers don't
like
much care.
It's like disinfectant to niggers.
Well, they don't, they don't like it here. I mean, it hurts, it literally hurts them, to listen to it. So usually, after the first show or two, the Nimbusters find out that this is not fun. This is not fun. And they whined a few times, and they whine, and I don't pay attention to them. And, Anyway, they pretty well left. So I knew it wasn't anything in the chat, because if a NIMBUSTER can't stand it, there's nothing going to be on the chat. And if you go ahead and listen to the, you know, listen to the show, I mean, most people do not want to go ahead and hear much of a debate as to whether the God family is a duality or a trinity or a single entity or what. They don't want to hear about whether or not preexistence is this or that. And it just bores the crap out of them. So essentially, I mean, I've never seen a less likely show to be taken down because of language. But Visser was going ahead and lying. And like I put on the webpage, you know, hey, look, Visser will get the reputation not only being a mamzer, but being a little Jew censor who went ahead and deliberately lied against a real Israelite, you know, for no other reason than because he hosted a Christian Identity Bible study. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the guy's been at it all along. I mean, really.
Well, Visser, I think pretty well what it shows is not really strength, but it shows weakness. It pretty well shows that essentially he's so far gone, he doesn't even understand the political consequences. Even whether you like me or not, taking down an Israelite show, a Bible study, because you don't like somebody else, because it shows how very low you are. It shows that you are essentially just a piece of filth.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So essentially tomorrow or tonight, I'll go ahead and, you know, write up something for Keith. I won't really mention my name. Essentially what happens is that, look, Talk Shoe, Security Agent number 15, essentially you go ahead and you have Jeremy Visser going ahead and bragging about taking down, I just went ahead and lost, my computer, you know, my Toshiba got warm. Toshiba number one got warm and just went ahead and crapped out on me here. But in any case, folks, what Visser did was wrong. He did something that was wrong. You understand what I'm saying? It was very wrong.
Yeah, I'm listening.
And he did it. He went ahead and did it. And, folks, when Visser did that, he pretty well made himself, you know, I mean, I don't think Visser, I think Visser is pretty well at the end of his rope. Just like last year, he just gone ahead and told the judge he wasn't white. You know, here's his brother. Essentially, this is his full brother. Essentially, Visser doesn't dare admit that he's a mamzer. You know what I mean?
I mean, the guy has niggers and Mexicans in his family. I mean, he's stooping to, like, levels beyond low, you know?
Well, it is low to go ahead and deliberately take down a genuine Christian Identity Bible study for no other reason than because somebody else you don't like is
exactly
better.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just like what Jesus Christ said about the scribes and Pharisees. He says, hey, they go ahead and make, grievous burdens, but they will not lift a little finger to go ahead and obey their own law. And what happens, what's even worse, is they don't want to go ahead and listen. They don't want to go ahead and listen to salvation.
Exactly.
But they don't want
anybody
else to go ahead and listen to it either.
Exactly. The guy has shown his true colors.
Yeah, he's shown his true colors. And there's going to be a lot of people who are pretty well mad about that. And, they're not going to trust Visser. They're not going to like Visser because of what Visser has done. So, okay. Well, I'm going to have to let
I ran it on enough about that tonight, Pastor. I'm going to go to bed. I'm tired.
Okay, you're tired?
All right.
Well, folks, I'm going to have to go ahead and wait 5 minutes because my computer, it was on there for a little while, and it just went ahead and died again. So I'm going to have to go ahead and wait about 5 minutes for it to go ahead and cool down. Anyway, I hope you're doing okay. Usually you end up having grave charge. You work at night or something like that usually?
I do work graveyard shift a lot of the time, you know.
Why do you like graveyard? Because essentially what happens is that you didn't have the management, you didn't have the bosses. Pretty well what I used to do is I used to be part of what was cardboard baling. And I used to go ahead and pick up the trash.
Yeah, I do a lot of that.
you know, essentially what happens, then I load it into a bin and then, you know, put it into this big old dumpster, and the next day they take the dumpster out to the landfill. It used to be just a landfill about 5 or 10 miles away. But what I would do is, oh, pretty well, I would bale up the cardboard for Sunbeam barbecue grills. And, you know, pretty well, you know, then, you know, after some, you know, baling of the cardboard, I'd go ahead and pick up the trash and throw out, you know, take the trash out. And then what happens is that I would go ahead and simply go ahead and bale some more cardboard. And essentially they used to work, oh, during the season, they used to work 6 days out of seven. So I
Yeah, I know. I know, Pastor. I mean, I got to feed my family, but I got to go to bed now.
Okay,
so,
well, I'll
I'm going
to
say Yahweh bless and hail
Yahweh
victory.
Bless and hail victory. Well, good night, William B. You have a good one, and talk to you later. All right? So, folks, we're going to go ahead and take about another five-minute break. I'm going to try to go ahead and regain control over my Talk Shoe show. And we'll be on in just a little bit. Looks like we've had a few people drop out. It's around, oh, it's around 11 o'clock. So I've only been talking for about, oh, not quite 3 hours. So anyway, we'll have it. We'll go ahead and take a break. Hail Victor, I was glad William B. could go ahead and call in. All right, Hail Victor.
problem. With my receiver number one. So anyway, if this show does go ahead and quit or end or something like that, why? Good thing I went ahead and saved. saved it on the hard drive here. If I'm having problems with receiver number one. So anyway, if I do have a problem later on, what I'll do is I'll just let the show end here, or something like that. It looks like Scientology sue them. Well, I don't have a problem with Scientology. They're one of the few people who know that psychiatrists and psychiatric, psychiatry is a Jew racket, which essentially people who aren't mentally ill are essentially locked up, without access to the court system because they're supposedly nuts here. They realize, there's a little fraud here. So I don't have a problem with Scientologists. Okay? Yes, you end up having a problem with an echo here. Let me go ahead and I'll go ahead and hang up as Dick Reltney. I sound like Satan. Oh well. You don't think psychology is a Jew racket? Well, folks, I got to enjoy. Psychiatry and the Fulton State Nut House. And, folks, I think it's an evil Jew and nigger racket here. So, yeah, it gives me omniscience here. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and hang up as Dick Reltney. If the show ends here, I'm going to go ahead and just not worry about it here. But I'm having problems with sheep number one. Okay?
Okay.
You can have reverb now, should you? Fill the asparagus jar? Well, I already did here. Last night, I went ahead and I read my Kindle for about, 5-10 minutes. Well, for about 3 hours. I listened to Harold Covington's podcast. 4 more hours. Well, I don't know if you're going to get 4 more hours. It looks like APOC went ahead and, let in there. I guess Motor did lose interest in the turd. What to say? Motor, but then again, someone like Mona Montgomery is sort of foolish to take Mona seriously. Tempting repairs. Go ahead and put something up there so that this computer, this Toshiba number one, go ahead and she's a crazy heifer here. Go ahead and start the MP3 player. And I'm going to go ahead and start the MP3 player. Okay, folks, this is the last section of the movement turd, and pretty well, the subject for tonight is how does the 10,000 warlords interact with the, how does the 10,000 warlords project interact with the
with the local, on the local level here. And folks, the 10,000 Warlords Project is altogether a local project. You see, what you end up having all across the Zogwen is you have these evildoers doing, did you actually read Hobbes? You mean
Thomas Hobbes, Leviathan? What I did is that a number of years ago, I bought for $25 this set of books. It was called the Classic Library or something like that, and one of the books was Leviathan. And did I read the entire book page for page for page? And the answer is no. Did I go ahead and read the book for the highlights? And the answer is yes. Pretty well, I read a little bit more than the Cliff notes. What, to be honest with you, I do remember, and I think Thomas Hobbes said first here, is there's nothing that is so ridiculous that it can't be found in a book of philosophy. Essentially, Thomas Hobbes didn't much care for intellectuals. Now, was he an intellectual? Well, obviously, went ahead and wrote a book. But you've got to go ahead and understand, Leviathan was not really light reading. It never was light reading. You've got to understand where Thomas Hobbes was coming from. And Thomas Hobbes was in reaction. He was for the Cavalier side. He was for Charles I. He was for the monarchy against the, pretty well the Puritans, the Parliament, the Parliamentarians, the Anglicans. You've got to understand this, Thomas Hobbes was pretty well the court philosopher of Charles I and Charles II. Now, I guess he had some freedom of speech, because if he printed in 1651, that was when Oliver Cromwell, I believe, was in power. Now, what the great dictator, the man on the horse, is that people got tired of Cromwell. Cromwell did bring the Jews back to England. Now, I think they were there all along, but essentially they had to keep a low profile. If they were found out, they could be killed right off the bat because of Edward I's royal decree. And what he did is that rather than pay this money that these Jews had gone ahead and lent him for the English Civil War, he decided to let them take it out and trade by screwing the English population. But I used to, with old Charles, the Bruce Stewart, I used to call him Charles the Worst. He used to have one of the very first early forums. And for my guy, he's still around. He's still doing his common law court, practicing law without a clue. He's very proud of being descended from Charles the First, and I think even Charles the Second. I used to call him Charles the Worst. And I pointed out that the Stuarts were the only dynasty, I think, ever that was given a second chance by those they ruled. The English did chop off Charles I's head. And you got to understand, it was a regional fight, between the Anglicans who were the Angles who lived in eastern England against the Saxons who lived at the south of England. Wessex, Essex, Sussex, and Mercia. Essentially, you had, and I was talking about this to Jet Rank and a number of other people, is that you had even before, and it looks like I pretty well lost most people in the chat. And by the way, Vancouver, Washington, WashingtonTI.com. You're going to have to learn not to spam. You're still blocked, okay? In any case, you had these people fighting against each other when the Saxons lived in northwest Germany, just under the Jutland Peninsula of Denmark, and the Angles lived there, and they lived on the Isles of Zealand and a number of the other islands where they had migrated from southwest Sweden. And later, when the Angles moved out to England, their cousins, the Danes, moved in. And in the case of Beowulf, there's only one Anglo-Saxon mentioned off of the silent, and Offa is an Angle who is fighting to gain control of the throne against two Saxons. And Offa was a big man. He was known as the Silent because he didn't talk until the age of 16 or so when he goes in and has this big fight. And it's the only one mentioned in Beowulf to where there are Angles or Saxons mentioned. Beowulf is a story of how a Geat, Beowulf, has gone south to fight with a monster problem that the Danes have. And so according to the work Beowulf, Beowulf was the very last Geat king before they got conquered by the Swedes, taken over by the Swedes. So, well, where was I? In any case, you had the same thing in that these Angles and Saxons were at war during the English Civil War. You have these Midlands, who are the Danes, who became the Quakers. You have these Celts, Brythonic Celts, who become the Scots-Irish, Scots-Irish borderers of northern England, north of York, and south Scotland, fighting with each other. During Edward I's wooing of England and then Robert the Bruce's counterfight when Edward is dead, and he's facing his faggot son, Edward II. So folks, you have had fights between local elites who cannot get along. The War of the Roses, between the Lancasters and the Yorks, were people who both had a claim to the throne of England. So, in any case, I'm going ahead, and it looks like Toshiba number one is not going to go ahead and activate itself. It's not ever going to activate itself. So what to do? What to do? Anyway, the Puritans and the Calvinists says Judaized, Christianity. The answer is it was no more Judaized than any, Protestantism. I asked Charles the Worst Stuarts, I call him Charles the Worst. Folks, the Stuarts are about the only dynasty I've ever heard in the history of the world to where the Stuarts were given a second chance. After they chopped off Charles the First's head, normally there would have been no more Stuarts. But they got tired of Cromwell, and so they allowed Charles the Second to come back. And it wasn't until his brother, James II, who was a secret, Catholic, went ahead and had a son, that they decided they had had enough of the Catholic Stuarts, and they kicked him out during the Glorious Revolution. But the English Civil War lasted essentially from 1625 in its various forms to 1688. Essentially what this was a 60-some-year Civil War, which had its big phases in, say, 1848. And it had its big phases under Cromwell. Cromwell won. He was a dictator or, chancellor or high protector of England. And he went ahead and brought the Jews over. But I asked Charles the Worst Stuart. I said, well, okay. How come Charles II didn't simply say, hey, look, you dirty Jews, you went and supported Cromwell, I'm going to kick your worthless kike ass out. How come he didn't do that? How come he didn't do that? And Charles the Worst didn't have any answer to that. Didn't have any answer at all to that. So What could he say? But folks, what you've had is you've had fights. You've had wars between whites and elites forever. All through this history here, you've had fights between, well, for no other reason than who is going to rule over the population. Now, as time has gone on, these elites have become less and less white, and they have bought into the Zog lie, and as a result, their police support actions against white people, as long as they're poor white people, to go ahead and tell them that they cannot go ahead and, you know, do with their property or their children or anybody else as they see fit. And that's what the fight I'm going to have with these regime criminals. Okay? So, anyway, I'm sort of looking at it. Don't look like we have too many people calling in here. I'm going to go ahead and look and see where I went ahead and lost these people here. Okay, it looks like Frank Hoyer headed out here. In any case, I'm looking at the chat. Which Indians are the most pure? Well, I don't know. I will say the Amazon Indians. You know what I mean? Well, what happens is that some of the Plain Indians, some Cherokees, they were mixed with Uyghur blood. Okay? Looks like Mass 1488 left here. Okay. Putting Native Americans in cages in Yellowstone? I never knew there was a CI view. You know? Okay. F.C. Bruce and Short here. Yeah, I'm looking at the chat here. Okay. Well, Corn Cob and April Gady might be a couple. Pretty well, old Corn Cob. Old Corn Cob was going to go ahead and screw old April Gady, or April Gady wanted to screw old Corn Cob. Harold Covington was bitching about old April Gady having her 15 minutes of fame. You know? Where am I at here? I'm looking at the old chat here. Okay? So, uncontacted tribes here. Well, all right. Okay. Well, looks like Frank Wigger's still there. I guess he is here. I don't know. Anyway, there are some tribes. Lotha Sauter said it would be a good thing if these tribes would pretty well die out before they even got found. And, folks, I don't have a problem with that. It's just that I don't worry about Borneo tribesmen. I don't worry about what Indians and South Africa and the jungle are doing. I don't worry about that shit. There's no point to it. So anyway, it looks like the Toshiba number one has cooled off. Perhaps I'll be able to go ahead and start it again. Anyways, Harold Covington was making the point is that there's such a thing as good pigs if the good pigs are local. Folks, I make the point is that there's no such thing as a good pig. A pig is an enforcer for Zog, and your local Zog is no better than your national Zog. You go ahead and look at what happened in Iowa. You end up having old Rick Portisan or whatever, Santoro, nearly won a piece of shit named Mitt
Romney. What did Mitt Romney do? Essentially, what Mitt Romney did is that from Bain Capital, he worked on destroying corporations which used to go ahead and provide pensions, used to go ahead and provide a number of things for their workers, mainly white workers. Now, the Jews have, over the past 100 years, turned white Americans from living on their own farms and their own small businesses into essentially corporate hirelings, and now they've gone ahead and destroyed these corporations. What Mitt Romney did was he would go ahead and essentially, for Jew Capital, go ahead and spend $5 million to go ahead and loot a corporation for $100 million. Take that profit, go ahead and take that money, and cheat the shareholders and cheat everything else here. Mitt Romney is nothing more than a thief. Hell, he's worse than that stupid nigger. That stupid nigger, at least, was nothing more than a community organizer. He was just a nigger. That's all he ever was. That's all Bongo ever will be. Just a stupid nigger. But Mitt Romney, all these other so-called Republicans, they believe in going ahead and taking away the social safety net after they've gone ahead and looted it of everything it has. And these corporate Republicans, Mitt Romney, corporations are people too. Well, Mitt, you went ahead and finished off a corporation. So essentially, what are you, a murderer? Because you went ahead and finished off a corporation. If a corporation is a person, then haven't you gone ahead and murdered a person? According to your own, you know, according to your own view, and the answer is, of course you have, Mitt and shit. Folks, I urge people not to vote Republican. Hell, when I went ahead and went up there in March 2010 to run for office the very first day, essentially these worthless pieces of shit said that I couldn't run because I'm a racist white man. I'm an open racist. How dare I do this? How dare I do that? And folks, I dare. And so if you go ahead and you're a white man and you want to vote for a white man, well, folks, you don't owe any allegiance. You don't owe any loyalty to Gog Babylon. They don't represent you. Hell, even the liberals are beginning to realize is that essentially these government units don't have the consent of the government. They don't rule with the consent of the government. They do not represent the government. Now, supposedly we're supposed to have a Republican form of government. What does that mean? It means not a straight democracy, but essentially you vote for representatives to go ahead and pass laws for the good of the overall public. Well, folks, that situation doesn't exist anymore, if it ever did. And so what you have is you have in Granby and everywhere else here, you have your local thieving Anglo-Mestizos, Anglo-Mamsers, whatever, or Whiggers, going ahead and passing laws that poor people cannot live in a trailer house. They cannot put a trailer house on their own property. And folks are going ahead and claiming it's for the good of everyone. That's for the health and benefit of everyone. But it's not. It's not. It's because they don't like somebody else getting to use or run their own property. And to them, I say that since you don't have any respect for the property of others, why should anybody have any respect for your property, for your rights? And the answer is they shouldn't. So here you have these people believing that they hire some worthless pig, and that pig is going to go ahead and act like a thug, a bandit, hiding under color of law, and doing pretty well what these thieves wanted to do. Someone who goes ahead and does not respect the property rights of others, what is he? If he goes ahead and uses it or converts it to his own use, what is someone who goes ahead and does that? Is he not nothing more than a thief? And the answer is, of course he is. Or, of course she is, in case of Donna, both of them. I went ahead and looked
from 2009, eventually people got tired of her shit and they voted her out. They got tired of her going ahead and telling people they couldn't go ahead and put a trailer house on their own property. They voted her out. Her own relatives, her own inbred relatives voted that bitch out. And now I'm going to go ahead and make it to where, guess what, Donna? I am going to sue your worthless ass. I'm going to go ahead and pretty well have your supporters and the rest have to go ahead and go into a lawsuit and defend essentially your horseshit. And here you have a pig. You have a bunch of other pigs who think that they get to do whatever the hell they want to do. And folks, that's not the way it is. A pig is not very tough. A pig is just simply a coward, a criminal, with a badge and a uniform, who essentially has gone ahead and sold himself to Satan, to Zog Babylon, to do evil. Now, such a creature should be exterminated root and branch. There should be nothing left of this regime criminal family. This criminal should be castrated. This criminal should be skinned alive, and so should all of his family. Because how do you deal with criminals? The answer is that you need to deal harshly with them. We have gone ahead in other episodes of the show and pointed out that what Yahweh hates is tyrants. He hates someone who goes ahead and destroys the lives and the properties of others. So, in any case, well, I mean, you are right there, Robert Von Young. Essentially, nothing is working. Hell, Covington is right in that Zog Babylon is falling apart. What he is wrong in is thinking that he's going to go ahead and deal with Uyghurs, go ahead and get them to fight, train them to fight, and to make something. Folks, there is nothing easier in a decaying social order than destruction, especially destruction for its own sake, because of chaos. In a time of chaos, there's no shortage of opportunities for things to fall apart. And they will fall apart. They most certainly will fall apart. What is lacking is the ability to go ahead and work together for a common purpose. Because we're not the same people. And we're certainly not going to go ahead and do it if every single local pig and local regime criminal is using that pig to go ahead and rob the rest of the social order. The Mitt Romneys, the Prick Santorums, the Michelle Bachmans, heck, even the Ron Pauls here, who essentially have a Jew writing their little newsletters, and then later on, when you run for president, go ahead and disclaim what you went ahead and made money off of while you are waiting to go ahead and become a Congress critter again. Ron Paul is not honest. Ron Paul believes that it's un-American to go ahead and put up a fence and shoot beaners trying to cross the border. Ron Paul is soft on immigration here. Ron Paul has no problem with mamzers from the third world coming in and stealing from white people. Folks, I don't have a problem with Social Security being run for white people. I have no problem with white people, you know, who essentially are not, you know, too old to work, too sick to work. I don't have a problem. I mean, if it was just simply white people, and even lazy white people, simply taking care of the system, advantage of the system, we could go ahead and exist if we had a period of freedom here. There are certain times, you know, when things were going well, there was good government. Essentially, it didn't take very much for white people to go ahead and make a living and have plenty of children. It was when you ended up having a corrupt local elite, national elite, and the rest here who was pretty well stealing
right off the top and then give them to Jews and have the Jews run it, you know, like they are today, that you end up having the system, you know, the symptoms of collapse here. Folks, it doesn't make sense if you're young to go ahead and work on building anything because the government will just go ahead and take it away from you. It doesn't pay for you to have children if the government will go ahead and take away them and buy and sell them and try to go ahead and have you murdered in prison on trumped up sodomy charges against your own grandchildren who you love quite a bit. Folks, this system is not working. It is falling apart. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Rick Portosan, he went ahead and got kicked out of Pennsylvania. He couldn't even be elected in Pennsylvania. Pretty well, he was just a tard who supported the Bush line. He got turfed out. People got tired of his shit. People got tired of his stupid shit, his mindless shit. Folks, the Republicans are no different than Democrats. They both serve the Jew. In fact, the Democrats at least have some notion here. They can't give everything to the feeding Jews because you've got to go ahead and have enough for the niggers and beaners to eat. But folks, there's no sense if you're white voting for any political party, Republican or Democrat. None at all. But folks, don't go ahead and talk about states' rights here because the state is as crooked or more crooked than even the federal government. If I go ahead and sue that bitch, Donna Fulton, and the city of Granby and the rest here, it'll be in federal court. Because the federal court, you know, rules are being far more better to where essentially I can go ahead and go after them as opposed to your local municipal court. They intend to go ahead and, you know, go ahead and impose their own little bullshit laws, not equally. Hell, a connected little bitch just go ahead and put up a, you know, put up a double wide, even though it says anybody else can't go ahead and put, you know, put it in that spot here. Can't go ahead and do it, and they allow this bitch to go ahead and tear down my chicken house, and then throw me in jail, and then a month later, here I am, you know, locked up in this kind of jail where I can't go ahead and sue this bitch. And folks, here I am living a quiet life, and they cannot leave me alone. Folks, Zog Babylon will not allow you to live in peace. Essentially, what you must do is you must put these evildoers to death. We must go ahead as a white race and understand that we use this great tribulation, which is on rushing, to go ahead and take care of our Uyghur problem first. Take care of the traitors who have to go ahead and destroy us for no other reason than because of the momentarily richness. My own family, parts of my own family are just nothing more than thieving quiggers. They don't seem to realize is that once their soldier, once their bulwark is pretty well gone, in prison, murdered, do you think that they're going to be loved anymore? And the answer is your turn will come. Now, folks, we're to the time when quiggers will find out that niggers are not little quiggers in a, you know, in a nigger suit. The beaners are not little nice little quiggers, not little soccer moms in a little beaner suit. They'll find out that Jews are not little quiggers with a little hooked nose and a little hooked nose snout, you know, with pubic hair, curly pubic hair and a little snout. They'll find out that niggers and beaners and Jews and gooks are not quiggers in a, you know, in a little nigger or beaner, or Jew, or gook suit. They'll find out that they are dangerous animals, dangerous beasts of the field, who essentially have every single love. You know, have the only thing they like about the white man's property, the white man's land, the white man's women, the white man's money, but they have nothing but hatred for the white man. So who do we have to work on first here? And the answer is the very first people who need to die are the regime criminals, and not your local regime, you know, not your regime criminals in Washington. Once Zog falls apart, and let me tell you where the collapse is going to be. The collapse will be a collapse of power,
to where Washington is no longer able to do anything about what is going on now. So, folks, generally your 10,000 warlords should understand that you hate globally and you execute locally. You understand that there is nothing good about regime criminals. The Whigger who looks like you, who essentially thinks like you and who thinks that he gets to live off of you, the Whigger is your enemy. The Whigger is the first one who should die in this big situation. I have time after time after time after time said that what we have, number one, is not a nigger problem, not a beaner problem, not a goof problem, not even a Jew problem. We have a Whigger problem. And until the Whiggers learn that essentially by being a traitor, they are going to be the first to die here. Folks, let me go ahead and read from Ezekiel chapter 9. And then I'll go ahead and finish up and log off here. Ezekiel chapter 9. And what is Ezekiel chapter 9? What is it about? And essentially, it's about where Yahweh says that the slaughter needs to start at the house of Israel, at the house of Yahweh first. It doesn't need to start in Washington, D.C. It needs to start among your own family who are traitors first here. It needs to start among those who pretend to be, but they're not. They're not white. They're just merely little Jews in a Whigger uniform. That's all they are. That's all they are. There's somebody who will go ahead and destroy you if you let them. So the answer is, don't you let them. Don't you let them. So let me see. I'm looking for Ezekiel. Lamentations. Ezekiel. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 1. And it just ended in, chapter 8. It says, therefore I will deal in fury, my eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, and though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Verse 9, he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Verse 2, and behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate which lieth to the north, and every man a slaughter weapon was in his hand. So they had a club, or a sword, or a flail, or a scythe, or a mace. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. Verse 3. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed in linen which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Verse 4. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. This writer was to go ahead and mark the righteous man who went ahead and cried against the abominations that are done in the midst of Jerusalem. Verse 5. And to the others he said in my hearing, go you after him, this writer, through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have you pity. Don't spare anybody. Kill them all, let Yahweh sort them out. Verse 6. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. And they began the ancient men which were before the house. Essentially, this writer
let's go ahead and mark the foreheads of everyone in the city and mark the foreheads of those who went ahead and cried against what is going on now. And otherwise, you're supposed to slay young and old. Don't spare anybody. Spare no one. Verse 7. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. Now he went and told these people and told them to go out and kill and have no mercy. Verse 8. It came to pass when they were slaying them and I was left that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, will you destroy all the residue of Israel in your pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? He said, will you go and destroy the residue of Israel? Folks, from what I get, this residue of Israel was essentially these Whiggers who were outnumbered by the non-Israel in this city. And isn't that exactly what's going on in this country? Okay? Verse 8, came to pass while they were slaying them, and verse 9, then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. The land is full of blood, the city is full of perverseness, for they say the Lord has forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. Folks, it's mentioning both Israel and Judah. Both Israel and Judah. Both the house of Israel, both the house of Judah. And we're not talking about Jews, we're talking about the house of Judah. The land is full of perverseness because, well, folks are saying that, you know, Yahweh does not see. Yahweh does not care. He's forsaken it. Pretty well, it's under our charge now. We're going to do as we see fit. Verse 10. And as for me also, my eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. By recompense, it means pay them back. They're going to get the payback. What goes around will come around. And these people who are supposed to smite, they will smite, and they will do it with Yahweh's blessing. And that is the way it should be. Verse 11, behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as you have commanded me. Eventually, he went ahead and carried out his task here. It seems like he didn't have very far to go. It seems like he got it done probably in the space of a couple hours. There were only a few righteous men who were to be spared. Folks, he carried it out, and he got it done. He got it on. So what should we say here? Folks, evil will be repaid. And folks, most of these people are not the residue of Israel. Most of these people are just Anglo-Methuselahs. They're born evil. They will not be anything other than evil. Folks, when the time for the cleansing of this earth through the great tribulation occurs, you, as a local warlord, you as one of the 10,000 warlords, should know who the evildoers are, who the pigs are. You should know that there are creatures here, like this Donna Fulton woman, who has had time after time after time to learn decency and who have never done it. And folks, every little city has a Donna Fulton. Every little city has a city council which goes in and believes that they can pass laws against the interests of white families. They can go ahead and enrich themselves by passing laws which they themselves will not obey and not have their friends obey. And they can go ahead and elect local pigs who will go ahead and do that even. And they believe that this system of events is going to last forever, and it's not. That's why we're coming to the end. Just as in Noah's day, all these evildoers were destroyed by water, so too in the third and the last Babylon, strong Babylon, the third and the final, these evildoers will be destroyed by the fires of civil war. by the fire, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And contrary to what Finkelschini, Eli, or James thinks, it's not Gaius Marius, Felix Celia, Julius Caesar, or Mark Antony. It is war, famine, pestilence, death. When a social order is on its last legs, where there is no good people hardly left, folks, let nothing but the very end of it go ahead and be taken care of. And just like it said here, I remember reading about the Cathar or the Albigensian crusade in the south of France. And this one guy who was in charge of them knew that they were going to finish off the Cathar city, the last Cathar city, the next morning they were going to take it. And someone asked the commander of the force, what shall we do? He said, slay them all. Yahweh knows who is of his own. And the thought was, if you were one of Yahweh's and you were slain in the city, essentially you would be resurrected to paradise the next thing you knew. But essentially it was saying, kill them all. Kill them all. But Yahweh sort them out. And folks, that is exactly what's going to happen with Great Tribulation. Exactly what's going to happen. The evildoers will not prosper. It is written in Isaiah, but the cities, I believe it's Isaiah chapter 3, is written that the cities of the evildoers, cities of evildoers, shall not spread among this earth here. Let me see. It tells about, way back in Isaiah's day, why it says that, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them, O my people. They that lead cause thee to err in the way of thy path. Folks, if you lead and you go ahead and cause, them to err so that they are destroyed, upon whose head should the evil that you do fall upon? The answer should fall upon regime criminals. There's no such thing as a good pig. There's no such thing as a good regime criminal. No such thing as a good lawyer or anything like that here. They're evil because that is their nature. So, I'm not quite sure where it says that, but it says that the cities of the evil people shall not spread over the earth. And the answer of it is why won't they spread over the earth? And the answer of it is that when you have nothing but evildoers contending with each other, they will destroy themselves through violence. There was a violence filled the earth after you had all this dissension during the days of Noah. The reason that you had the violence fill the earth here is, like I said, it was all caused, all this schizophrenia, all this violence, all the civil war was caused by Peter Duncan. That's why I used to tell these psychiatrists. And these stupid psychiatrists said, well, who's Peter Duncan? And I said, you idiots. You idiots. Peter Duncan is not a who. Peter Duncan is a what. Chaos. Evil, stupidity, is caused. Well, I think it made case by Whiggers who have gone ahead and decayed. But in any case, when you see a Whigger going ahead and acting up, you got to go ahead and ask, just like with Bridge and Resistor, maybe it isn't just a Mamzer who has a problem with how to behave. Okay? Sounds like Marty is jealous. Well, I don't think that, you can go ahead and say there's no such thing as a good lawyer. Folks, I was thinking of becoming a lawyer. And then I found out that essentially a lawyer is someone who goes ahead and essentially wants a monopoly license to go ahead and steal. I don't believe there is such a thing as a good lawyer. All right? Folks, I'm going to go ahead and call it quits. I'm going to go ahead and say, I think this should be about it for tonight. I think, with close to 3 hours. That's good enough, especially for a chat, especially since I've gone ahead and lost most of the people who were there. So I'm going to go ahead and say, Hail Victory. Hey, Yahweh, please. Good night. Okay, so I got to be dialed in as a host here. All righty. So let me go ahead and call in, and let me go ahead and end it. All right? I was like, Marty is jealous. Oh, well. Okay, folks, I'm going to go ahead and end the show. I'm going to go ahead and terminate it.